It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who are supposed to be preaching are no
straight away, but now we're coming back to you. promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here at WSOM AM 600 in Youngstown, Ohio. And I hope you guys are having a very, very good day. Want to, first of all, thank everyone who supported, embraced, collected, dropped off, prayed, sent donations for me to go to New Jersey and drop off hurricane relief supplies. I went to East Orange, Hoboken. I went to West Orange, East Orange, Hoboken, and another part of Orange, New Jersey. And it took me, I drove a trailer, a U-Haul trailer, and I hitched it to the back of my truck. And in studio is both Ben and Styx. And Styx gave me some pointers. I got to thank Mr. Lydon, Paul Lydon, over at Lydon Oil. He gave me some great pointers. He told me to use the mirrors, because I didn't realize I needed to set my mirror. So he gave me some schooling lessons. Got some other folks who were truck drivers who told me, you know, don't go past, you know, the speed limit that's on the truck. And so I left out of here at 6 o'clock on Friday. It took us about, I want to thank, his name is Mike from Marks. He stopped by, he heard me say that I was going to be at headquarters packing up, and he got off from work, and he stopped by headquarters and helped us pack up. And it was just remarkable. I want to thank Mark Mandy. He and his wife showed up to help me pack up out at headquarters. And Jill, who is over at Republican headquarters, did a phenomenal time packing that trailer. Because there's no way that I could have gotten all that stuff. It was like two fish and five loaves of bread. The more we put in the trailer, the more it began to grow. And so we got 100% of what we had collected in that trailer that night. And I got on the road. And initially, if anybody has ever done this, it's a little weird because you got something bouncing in the back. And the trailer was heavy, and the car was filled, and the car was heavy. And it was a little weird going down. And Styx, you guys told me that I couldn't go any more than 55, 60 miles an hour.
The going ain't the problem. It's the stopping.
Skip the stopping. Who was stopping? I have never been on a freeway. I'm going down 80 because it was a straight shot. I went down 80. Everybody in the world passed me, and I'm doing 55 and 60 miles an hour. I haven't done 55 and 60 miles an hour since I got a driver's license.
That's why they arrested you in Arizona.
That's the point.
Arizona.
I found out that I could have gone faster than that. It took me all night long to get to New Jersey. It took me like 8.5 hours. I didn't pull into New Jersey until 2 o'clock in the morning.
But what kind of brakes do you have on that trailer?
I got great brakes. Great brakes on the trailer, great brakes on the truck, on the car, the trailer. I have great brakes. It was miserable. I sang more songs. I taught.
You got there alive, though, didn't you?
Skip the live part. Who's concerned about being live when you can't get there and it takes all day long, it takes all night long? So I got there, and I woke up the captain and his wife. Both of them are captains for the Salvation Army because I stayed with them, and woke up the whole house. The lady the next morning, she was mad at me because I parked too close to the stop sign or to the curb. I'm like, lady, if you thought I was going to back up this truck at 2 o'clock at night trying to park it right, everybody's, don't smoke crack. Truck does not go backwards. Truck goes forward. I don't drive backwards. Not with a trailer on the back. That's just stupid.
Well, I thought forward was the new backwards anyhow.
It is.
I mean, that's the campaign, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It might be. No, the forward is the new sideways.
Sideways? I thought it was.
No, because forward is not backwards.
I think forward is the new backwards. The red dress is the new black?
No. The red dress is the new black, but yeah. forward is not backwards. We don't go backwards. So I just to recap, because, you know, everybody supported this, and we raised so much. It was unbelievable. I get up the next morning. I get dressed. The neighbor across the street comes and bless. She gets mad at me. Then she tells me, I said, well, God bless you. Don't bless me. What does religion have to do with this conversation? I said, well, I'm going to bless you anyhow. So I go over to the Salvation Army, and we begin to unload so we can redistribute. They feed about 175 people there. Altel was there. Not Altel, I'm sorry, AT&T. AT&T has an organization that they go out and they do philanthropic work from the employees of AT&T. Mm-hmm. And so they were there helping out. There are some pictures on my Facebook because we were unloading this truck.
So AT&T really does reach out and touch someone.
Yeah, but you pay for it, but you know that. We're not giving them any commercials.
Right.
But it was a lot of them were from the 911, and they were engineers. And so they came and they helped out. And then I went over to the seniors complexes. Now, mind you, that these senior citizens, there was a whole neighborhood here in Orange, New Jersey, that was completely black for 9 days. And they have, you know how we have these tax credit senior buildings or disabled buildings here now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have these huge apartments, complexes, which go up maybe a couple blocks, that are nothing but senior citizen complexes. And they were supposed to have a generator on them, and they did not. Because they weren't built for seniors, but they converted them to senior buildings, but they never put the generators in. And so you have these seniors who were brought a portable generator and tied it to the community room, but you still had to go to your apartment to sleep at night, or they'd bring cots down. But remember, you're talking about senior citizens. They can't sleep on the floor. Not too many senior citizens, you know, can get on the floor and then get back up the next day and bounce back. It just doesn't work that way. And I'm giving this long story because there's a lesson in it. Well, if you didn't want to stay there, they have a hockey arena there in New Jersey where they play hockey.
The Devils.
Right. Well, the ice was on the floor, but you can put a padding or a floor over the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't melt the ice, mind you. They just put a floor on top of the ice.
See, and that's kind of weird because the hockey season's been canceled for
– yeah.
Yeah,
I bet you they probably still have youth league and stuff in there.
Yeah, could be.
So they put the senior citizens on the hockey floor.
On the ice.
On the ice and put a pet, you know.
People with arthritis on the ice.
You got to follow me here. So I asked some of the seniors, I asked the lady, I said, well, if you had to do it over again, what would you do differently? She said, I would have never left my apartment. She said, because it was so cold in the arena. Because you look at, it's not like they had heat in there, like massive heat. And I don't know about you, but, you know, the older people get, the more heat they require. So they put them in a hockey, and they started putting them into a school gym. But, you know, common sense ain't really working here. So, okay, I said, well, what, you know, they said their biggest problem was they had food in their refrigerators. And so after 9 days, there's nothing in your refrigerator that you can eat.
Yeah, I would just put it on the back patio. It's so cold out.
Yeah, you could have.
Yeah, but you're not your frozen food.
No. The frozen food I would have thawed and cooked immediately.
Yeah. You can't cook it. Got electric. Everything in this building is electric. The heat's electric, the stove's electric, and the refrigerator, everything is electric. And then you have to also realize that there's a lot of people, I know my medication stays in the refrigerator. There's a lot of people who have medication who has to be refrigerated.
Yes.
If that, if your insulin, all that has to be refrigerated. Mm-hmm. Well, I found out your insurance companies don't pay for, you know, addendum loss prescription
right.
medication. If you lose it, whether it be by disaster or whether it be by catastrophe or whatever, you've got to pay for your next prescription, even if your doctor will refill it. So you have people, and I met one lady who has, who's on Avonex, which is a medication that I was on for MS. And it's somewhere around anywhere from $700 to $1,200 for this prescription. You get them in three-month doses. And it was and it has to be refrigerated. And so she's been at least 2 weeks now without her prescription medicine that she lost. And she called her insurance company, and her insurance company says she can get it again, but they're not paying for it. I was like, wow. And how many of them are there? And now with the holiday season coming in, you've got people who are in need, and they're waiting for stuff. You got new people in need because
well, didn't they cancel Christmas this year?
No, Christmas doesn't get canceled.
I heard somebody said there was no more ho-hos.
That's right.
No more Twinkies.
Costa shrugged.
No more Twinkies.
Shrugged. That's what they were talking about.
No more Twinkies.
Yep. No more Twinkies.
Okay.
No more Twinkies.
I thought they canceled Christmas.
Ho-ho Twinkies and what's it called? Hey, does that mean we're going to lose our powdered donuts too?
They're moving.
Donuts. No more donuts.
No, are you serious?
No more donuts.
The powdered donuts?
No more powdered donuts.
Oh, that's jacked up. Oh, we got issues here.
Yep. Instead of taking an 8% pay cut, the union took a 100% pay cut.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then they blasted the company.
Oh, and not only that, the Teamsters had signed on.
Guys, I haven't gotten that far yet. You guys, I'm still trying to stay in New Jersey.
Okay, New Jersey.
Jeez, oh, man, then you guys can go for what you know. It's open mic for the rest of the week.
They sell Twinkies. Quickly. They sell Twinkies in New Jersey.
They might sell Twinkies in New Jersey, but I want to, because people need to know, because I've got some common sense issues here.
Yeah.
Common sense issues mean what, Jeff, you're not going to be, you're going to freeze them out or heat them up over there?
Are you cold over there?
I'm fine.
You know, I know, but you're going to freeze them out.
That's all right.
All right.
We got jackets.
Jeez, old man. So when you look at the common sense of FEMA, you know, they right now, if you had any type of destruction or were affected by FEMA for this Hurricane Sandy,
mm-hmm.
you can apply for benefits. But if you're already on benefits, you can't get additional benefits.
So basically, once again, it's only there to help the wealthy.
In some ways, it's just not common sense to me.
Right.
Because if you were looking for a job, couldn't get a job, and can't get a job, you can get benefits.
Right.
If you are getting benefit, if you're working and you can't get to your job because your job's not there, you can get benefits. It was all these parameters that you can get benefits. But if you're already getting benefits from any source, told me she gets $16 on a food card a month. She can't get any benefits.
Anything from FEMA.
Nothing.
Yeah. Then does that make any sense? Of course not. Realize this: it's a government agency,
yeah,
so
well,
it makes perfect sense.
These are the people that you want to handle your health care.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Right. Yeah.
So only the well people who aren't sick are going to be able to get the plastic surgery they need in 5 years.
Right.
But I'm just saying. Look at the common sense here. I mean, and I don't understand how common sense cannot be a part of this.
There's no such
and
thing
right
as common
now,
sense when it comes to government.
The goods that I took there are going to be distributed to the people there, the seniors there,
mm-hmm.
As well as some people that are going to be affected because of just life.
Right.
But then I also noticed something also. There are a lot of people with an entitlement.
Mentality?
No. An entitlement zombie.
Wait a minute. You can't use that word. You told me I couldn't use that word.
Which one?
Zombie. Remember?
Wait a minute, hold on.
I said mindless idiots, zombies, and you said
no,
I can't say that.
You can't call them idiots.
What's a zombie?
Not an idiot.
What's the difference?
They're
both dead from the neck up. Come on.
No.
Mind numb robots.
But you have to understand, we have indoctrinated a complete community of people who are have been entitled into a zombie state of mind.
I mean, it's just like when Katrina happened. You had that video of that guy standing there, a grown man, a grown able-bodied man, screaming at the TV, who's going to come and take care of these women and children? Grown able-bodied men don't stand there and scream at the TV, who's going to roll up their sleeves and pick up a chainsaw.
I got a better one for you. This church group came around about, I'd say 6 months after Katrina. They were sponsoring a family to move up here while they were repairing down there. So they brought the family in the store, right, and said, this is what we're doing. We're sponsoring them. Could you help us out? And I said, yeah. I need help right now. I'm real busy. I got a job for somebody. You know what the gentleman told me? I don't work down there. I ain't going to work up here.
Well, no, but but you have to understand what I'm saying about the conditioning. You're talking about, I'm looking at, there were a couple hundred people waiting in line for a dinner, their Thanksgiving dinner Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a 5x8 U-Haul chugged with goods. Then another cube truck came in from the pantry, stacked with goods. And I'm looking at the mindset of how do you, you know, you're looking at a volunteer organization. So you got the men who, the husbands of the women who worked at AT&T, the men who worked at AT&T, and we realize these people came in from other places to help support these people.
Mm-hmm.
You had some other young people who were trying to learn how to work but didn't know how to form a line so that you could pass the goods out of the truck and get them to where you want them to go. And we're talking about teenagers.
Had no idea how to work.
Had to go and recruit them and say, hey, brothers, we need y'all to get some help. We need some help out here. And my question is, where did the automatically we see people getting ready to help us, let me go help them? What happened to that? To where I went inside, and, you know, I'm new. They ain't never seen me before. I had my little Ohio sweatshirt on. I walked in there and said, hey, we need some help. And I'm having problems with not having the ingenuity to say, I'm an able-bodied person. I can stand in this line and I can help them unload this truck. Or at least ask, can I help you? When you see women and children unloading the truck,
mm-hmm.
don't you think it's able-bodied men?
Well, could be, could not be.
Could not be what?
Where you were at.
What do you mean, could not be?
Did you see able-bodied men around?
Jeffrey, they was as able as...
I said, did you see them?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
What
were they doing?
Standing in line, waiting.
Waiting to pick up what the women and children were unloading.
Absolutely. I mean, I can understand that you had creatures, you know, I'm not talking about folks that had, you know, walkers and stuff. I'm talking about you got able-bodied people who, because if they had all, if you could do something. And I got to go back to what I heard when we talked about the Israelites, when they were screaming for water.
Mm-hmm.
You got a million men. They could have dug for water. So my question is, where did we get this society that I don't have to do anything, but all I have to do is receive?
That's the great society.
That ain't great. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I ran it for my 25 minutes. I just wanted to, because I've got issues.
We've all.
I don't understand that. I don't understand how, even here. You have agencies here, but you don't have the infrastructure of your community supporting the agencies that support your community.
Well,
what is that? I picked up goods. They told me that Republicans were racist, elitist,
selfish,
that don't care about anyone. But when I looked at the supplies that were received, the majority of them came from
Republican.
I just want to know, because when I look at the boards of these organizations and that they're going around asking for help, I don't see the opposite side doing anything.
That's because they believe it's government's job to do it. I pay my taxes. It's government's job to take care of these people. Just leave me alone.
You cannot wait.
That's what they believe in.
But the government.
They believe in FEMA.
FEMA's broke. Has anybody seen the budget of FEMA right now?
I think it was $3 million overdrawn, wasn't it?
Something stupid like that.
No, that's easy.
PBGC's broke, too. Pension Benefit Guarantee Program.
Yeah.
Every government program is broke.
So tell me, why is it that we, and I'm bringing this up, and I told him I was going to talk about it, because common sense just makes sense to me.
Well,
and I don't understand.
You know what? Somebody put it to me, and this made perfect sense the way they put it to me. Yeah, a lot of America right now is like a crack addict or a heroin addict. And they're not going to change until they hit rock bottom, a la Greece, Ireland, you know. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Obama, spend away, you know, raise taxes. When we hit rock bottom, which is the direction this country is going to under this president, maybe America will change.
Yeah, I heard a commentator say the other day that the Republicans just all vote present. That's all. Just stand back and vote present for the next 4 years. And when it comes time for the next president, say, have you had enough yet? We haven't been obstructionist, but we haven't agreed with them. We voted present. So you guys can do whatever you want.
I know that's right.
You know what? At the end of 4 years, we'd be in chains.
You're in chains now.
They're working on it.
Yeah.
Have you seen this stuff on Agenda 21?
Agenda 21?
Yeah. This is some scary stuff.
The gun.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but think about
the sea treaty.
Yeah, they're going to do that, no doubt.
No, not without me firing my gun first.
Well, this is the point, but the thing is that's probably where it has to go in a few years, because these people are hell bent on taking your weapon because they know the only way to stop you from uprising when they start this craziness of taking over the government takeover is to not have anybody firing at them while they do it.
Mm-hmm. Which means that they'd actually have to amend the Constitution.
Well
that's what that whole Agenda 21 treaty is about,
mm-hmm.
that small arms treaty, because treaty supersedes the Constitution.
I thought it was vice versa.
No.
I thought our Constitution...
No. Treaty supersedes the Constitution,
wow.
And I learned something this weekend that's really scary. The president can sign on to that treaty, and as long as the Senate doesn't bring it for a vote, it stands.
So Harry Reid would...
Harry Reid can stonewall it.
Why is it okay for us to have a Mormon as the...
majority leader?
Majority leader of the Senate, but it wasn't all right for you to have one as a president. Somebody talk to me.
Well, there's a lot of Mormons in Congress.
Well, you know what? After seeing Harry Reid, I'd be scared, too.
That'd have to be the evilest people in the world, because that's an evil man.
But you got to understand, they didn't bring it out. You know, they keep quiet things that need to keep quiet.
That's what makes me think they didn't really want to win the election.
But let me add, I don't think they wanted religion to come to the surface. But my question is, they tell me that a lot of Republicans are throwing Mitt Romney under the bus because of his gaffe.
It's not a gaffe. It's the absolute truth.
Well, you know,
but let me ask you, is it the absolute truth, or did he just not say it in the right way?
I don't care how he said it. He said it like it was. It's just really what he said it is. The election was bought by people. Look at the map. Look at all the red and those little small areas of blue,
mm-hmm.
that you had a bunch of poor people in. Or people that were dependent.
Already enslaved by the system.
That's how they win. And they did an excellent job of it. The Republicans did a stupid job. And they did not defend themselves.
But that's
well,
what I'm saying.
Well,
why
aren't
they communication again?
Well, that's what it is. It's not that the Republicanism or conservatism is wrong for America. It's the fact that nobody is arguing the point. I feel stupid sitting here daily arguing the point when the rest of the Republicans are going to just shut up and not say nothing except to each other.
Well, I haven't been quiet. I mean, you look at your inner cities. You look at those blue maps, right? 4 years ago. What's changed from 4 years ago when he said change?
Nothing.
The schools are still trouble. Maybe
it's worse off.
Maybe it's worse off. The crime's worse. There's less jobs, right? Especially in the inner cities, right? And yet you've got zombies. Here we go. Zombies, people dead from the neck up, that put them back in those same areas. I mean, come on. I mean, they have to be zombies. That's the only way I can explain it.
Well, it's not just zombies. Do you understand this one thing? The number one drive in a human being is to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going to go after the easiest method of your survival. And then you might look at something else. But if somebody just keeps feeding you and feeding you, It's just like the wild animals in the park.
Yeah, but are they feeding and feeding, or are they killing them? Look at the murder
rate. They're killing both. They don't care.
Look at the murder rate. Look at the abortion rate.
They don't see that because they're getting three hots.
But that's what I'm going back to. What I'm saying. I'm saying, look at the conditioning of the people.
Sure.
Who have been entitlement dependent. Their entitlements have made them conditioned, to make them desensitized, so that all they need to do is stand in line.
So it's okay that our children can't get a good education in the inner cities. It's okay if they sell drugs and they shoot each other.
Absolutely.
And kill each other. And, by the way, if you get pregnant, we'll pay you for it, which, I'm sorry, what's the difference between a prostitute and a person that spreads her legs to get a check from the government? There is none.
But that's
I mean, what are we teaching?
But this is not,
what are we teaching our citizens?
We have conditioned our citizens, and I've got to take my break. We've conditioned our citizens to become dependent, because as long as you're dependent, I can control you. And people are being controlled more so than they are being anything else.
And you know what they tell me when I say that? As long as I keep getting my check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the check doesn't go anywhere. Do you realize? And I'm going to come back. I'm going to bring this up. Do you realize that when you're on SSI, when you're on Aid to Dependent Children, when you're on these types of things, you're not allowed to have more than X amount of income.
So you're capped from being successful.
No, wait a minute. You can only have X amount of income. How can you have a savings
on X amount of income
when something goes wrong, like a catastrophe like Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we went to stay at a hotel for me over the weekend, there were no hotels because the people who had the resources took them to hotels. They weren't in shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They were in hotel rooms, and they had the accommodations so that they could bring their family in and whatever else, and they could accommodate themselves until the storm passed over.
So the wealthy can take care of themselves.
Well, that's the lie of progressivism. That's the lie of progressivism, that we're going to take care of you, and the most dangerous place to be in any catastrophe like that is a shelter. I mean, because they're not going to let you take your weapons with you. You know that.
Well, how many people were raped down in New Orleans Superdome? Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, children being raped, isn't that?
But you understand where I'm coming from. But it's not even about being raped. It's not about being. My issue is how can you recover from the food that you lose, from everything that you've lost, if you're not allowed to have a savings because you're dependent upon a system? But when the system comes in to help you, people are still living in shelters today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You remember, you got senior citizens who they sent to an ice skating rink to stand and sleep on ice covered with wood. It's not like they got matting and they've got heat in the floors. You can't have heat and ice.
Yeah, you know what? I don't feel sorry for them because they voted. They're the ones that put this president in. They're
but
the ones that
all
put the government.
But
no, I'm not saying
no,
all
no,
of them.
No, no,
the
no, no.
The ones that did, I don't feel sorry
no,
for
No, not all of them. Not all of them did this.
No, I know that. I know that.
But you have to realize the ones that did were in. Remember, I've controlled you to the place now that you vote as I tell you, not as you think, because I've controlled you not to think. I'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back to thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A man was shot to death Sunday morning in South Youngstown. It happened at 240 East Avondale Avenue. That's the same place a double homicide took place last May. Police were dispatched to the residence around 9 a.m. They found 18-year-old Tamarik Moore dead. Students at Liberty High School in Trumbull County are mourning the loss of a classmate. Officials say a girl collapsed on Friday as class was letting out. The family of Brianna Murray believes she died of heart complications. She had previously been diagnosed with a heart condition. And a psychiatric exam will take some more time for a man charged with an unsuccessful plot to bomb a highway bridge in Ohio. His attorney says the psychiatric exam for 23-year-old Joshua Stafford of Cleveland has not been completed on schedule, but should be done by Tuesday. No immediate reason was given for the delay at the federal prison outside Boston. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Eastern Gateway Community College is an affordable, accredited state college for a better education.
If you're just graduating from high school and you want to take college classes but you don't know what to do, Eastern Gateway Community College is a good way to start to get you into college classes. So it's a good starting point, it's a good foundation to get basic courses for your education.
Steering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I hope you're having a good day. In studio with me is Sticks and Stones and Bones and Breaking and Sticks and Ben and Jeff.
Sticks and Stones may break my bones, but don't call me a Democrat.
No, don't call me a Browns fan.
Why, you playing the Browns what last night?
The Browns
didn't
win.
A blind squirrel finds a key.
Hold on, wait a minute. The Browns beat the Cowboys last night.
Pittsburgh.
No, Jeff.
The Browns beat Pittsburgh last night.
No, Jeff. The Browns didn't beat Pittsburgh. The Browns lost to the Dallas Cowboys.
No, they did not lose to the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys
beat the Browns. They were legislated out of a game by the referees because they did do some pass interference about three times, but then they just started calling. They breathed on the man. Up! Pass interference. And then when they tackled the one guy that caught the ball in between two defenders. The two defenders hit him, and they said, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Let's try this
again. Oh, that was ridiculous.
Let's try this again.
Yes.
Let's try this again. The Cleveland Browns
got legislated out of a game.
Lost to the Dallas Cowboys.
And
the Steelers.
Lost to the Ravens.
Lost to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Well, the Ravens.
Jeff.
Those are the East Coast Browns. There's a North Coast Browns and East Coast.
And you know, this could be a West Coast one, too.
Quit trying to create a Browns team out of something winning.
Awesome Newsom is still there.
There's going to be a West Coast Browns, too, because they're going to be moving to Los Angeles now.
Who?
No, they're not. They can't. They cannot move anywhere.
No, they're owned by the city.
By record, the contract with them, they have to be there 20 years, so they are nowhere near being out of that contract.
I think the fans are going to kick him out of there.
No, sir, because they've been scoring points. You missing it? They've been scoring points. We got talent.
Yeah, but I don't care how many points you score. If you don't score you more than your opponent, you lose.
Well, but they weren't scoring points for the past 2 years now. We were kicking field goals only. We weren't going to touchdowns. We weren't making passes over the middle to ends right under heavy coverage. We are playing good ball.
Oh my God! Well, listen to this.
They are the best 2-7 team out there, though.
The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. A man gave trick or treaters cocaine instead of sweets by accident.
Oh jeez. Being the only NASCAR fan in the room, I saw the most being the only NASCAR fan in the room.
What is NASCAR? What is that?
The number one spot spectator sport in the country.
In the country.
Who? Yep, the largest spectator sport in the country.
You mean the crazy people that watch with women and wife beaters watch cars go around in circles?
No.
Get her done!
But anyways, I saw the most awesome bit of karma yesterday. And going back, Jeff Gordon ran into Clint Bowyer the week before last.
Who's Clint Bowyer?
Okay.
Did he play golf?
He was there's three guys running for the championship. Three.
Earhart?
Okay. Jeff Gordon owns part of Jimmy Johnson's car. Jimmy Johnson and Clint Bowyer were pretty much tied for second spot. Jeff Gordon, who owns part of Jimmy Johnson's car, ran into Clint Bowyer on purpose and took him out. So took him out of contention for the championship.
Now, hang on.
Almost to the end of the race, Jimmy Johnson's rear end blew up in his car. Now, if that ain't karma, I don't know what karma is.
No, listen here. Let me explain something. I have a hard enough time figuring out football. I'm pretty good with the basketball thing.
Yeah.
I do all right with the golf thing. How are you going to throw something in there? I don't even know who Jimmy Johnson sounds like a blues guitar player out of the South.
Does he play for the Browns?
No. Here's what I don't know.
He said he lied.
How come you got all these fights and stuff at all these stick and ball games, but yet you can have 43 teams on a racetrack and everybody goes home friends? You never see a fight at a
stock
car race.
You know why? Because they carry guns.
That's true.
That's why.
You guys just want me to be confused. Hey, 269, your mic is on.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Michigan man.
Well, I know you. Hey, what's going on? I know y'all doing the Mickey Mouse hour right now, so I was just hoping until y'all start talking business, I guess.
Mickey Mouse! How you going to call me Mickey Mouse? Mickey Mouse ain't playing here.
Did Detroit win yesterday?
No, they lost.
I think that's why he's
Hey, don't worry about
Mickey
it, man.
Mouse.
Don't worry about Detroit.
But that's why it's Mickey Mouse hour. We're talking about real teams.
Michigan did whip on Ohio State over the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
That's
what
I thought.
I didn't watch it.
Now, what I was calling for, I think it was Thursday, you and Sticks, when I had asked you guys about when y'all think government kind of exploded or went to, got too big. And Tracy had said about 1960, right?
Somewhere around
and,
there.
Yeah, and then Sticks had said somewhere in 1937 or somewhere.
Well, no, it wasn't me. That was another day. I wasn't here, but I heard the conversation.
That was me.
Okay.
I would say like 1900, 1890 is when it started with Teddy Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
And that speech that he gave that said, we don't care how much money you make as long as you spend it the way we think you ought to spend it.
Right.
Well, I guess I just wanted to, I was trying to do a little research, and I wanted to hear, Tracy had said about 1960, I wanted to kind of hear you guys' explanation as to what was happening then, that made you guys believe that this is where the start of big government, kind of got out of control. I know that's a lot.
I know.
I'll simply say I think the Depression.
Okay.
I think the Great Depression was what uttered in the Great Society, as it was so called. And I think that's when government programs expanded and the government workforce expanded. And then, then you really jump right into World War II. I think that's when it all started. That's when government started to spiral downhill back then.
About the 1930s.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, and once again, I'm not saying all of those programs were bad. I think they were great. The public's works problem, the Tennessee Valley Authority, that was great. That was wonderful. I just wish our government today would get something out of the money it's spending like it did back in the 30s.
They don't have common sense. I'm telling you, after being in New Jersey, after doing this Hurricane Sandy thing, mm-hmm. I found out the problem with our government, and excuse the way that I'm saying this, they ain't got no common sense.
Well, obviously, they would be businessmen making lots of money if they did.
It doesn't make sense on how they do some things. We can reform and reshape things right now that would make a huge difference in everyone's bottom line, for the wealthy as well as the poverty. The problem is we ain't got no common sense and the leadership. And for some reason, they keep on making – during the break, I said to Jeff, I was reading the local paper here, we're going to go from – 3 judges to 2 judges, and we're going to take the clerk of court, and you're going to have to make it an employee instead of an elected position. And you said, well, it'll save money. Well, no, not really. Well, it'll make a smaller government. Well, no, not really. So why are you doing it? Well, it's politics. What would make society think that if you took a father out of the home, told him don't get a job, don't take care of your kids, and don't provide for their future, would make a great society?
Let's just go back to Katrina. Walmart had every store in that area up and running within 2 weeks. The railroads had the railroad bridges repaired, and they're still fixing publicly funded highway bridges. The private sector always does better than the public sector, always, in everything. Private charity. Glenn Beck had semi-trucks in Coney Island, New York.
The next day.
The next day.
That's what I mean. I took a trailer up by myself. had never hauled a trailer before in my life and got more done for some of these people.
Than FEMA ever will.
Than FEMA.
Right.
And they're not even looking at the hidden people that were affected by this.
Right. Well, I saw a lady this morning on the news. She said they got $2,900 for loss from FEMA for loss of where to live. How long is that going to last if you got to rent a hotel and buy
in New York?
In New York or New Jersey.
A week?
3 days.
I talked to someone. They said that they got people who – they got tow truck companies that are going into these devastated areas, towing people's cars out and towing their trucks and their boats out and then charging them $6,000 to get them back.
See, and I would just report them as stolen.
Yeah.
Get that company in trouble. That's what I would do.
Yeah, because in something like this, it is stolen.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, are we talking about downsizing public representatives to the federal government, the number of public representatives, or you're not talking about downsizing that?
No, what I'm
so
talking about is
stay the same.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, if you need 100 people to move 1,000 pounds, then you need 100 people. But when you no longer have 1,000 pounds, then take it down
to
50
people. Yeah.
But what we do is we keep an inflating government and not producing anything at the end of the day.
The IRS, I think, hired, what, 120,000 employees?
Yes, something like that to administrate Obamacare.
Right.
So how is let me ask my mom. My mom is a senior citizen, and, you know, they have this window of opportunity where you can change your supplemental plans to go with your Medicare Part B, Part D, A, B, C, D, E.
Open enrollment.
Oh, yeah. But they got all these A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. And I'm confused, and I think I'm smarter than a fifth grader. My mother's older than me, and she don't know what the heck they're talking about. So he handed me the phone.
You need a Philadelphia lawyer to
figure it out. I said to the lady this morning, I said, well, listen, can you send me out a comparison grid between the program that she's on and the two that you're proposing? Well, I'm sorry, but Medicare won't allow us to send out any charts like that.
Yeah, does that make sense?
That sounds right.
But I can send you out the actual, you know, packages, and you can do it yourself. But we're not allowed to send out any comparison grids.
Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen under Obamacare, you know, when you ask for some facts? I'm going into surgery. Can you please tell me what my chances are of surviving? No, we're not allowed to. We can't send anything out to you.
Well,
like
you
that.
Know what that is. Starting next year, kidneys are no longer going to be first come, first serve. They're going to institute Zeke Emanuel's Complete Lives program when they're issuing kidneys.
What does that mean?
That means if you're a diabetic like me and your kidney fails, so what?
Too bad.
Or if you're 70 years old, sorry, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And nobody knows that it's going to be that way right now. And they voted for it.
They didn't vote for it.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. They voted for They voted for President Obama, who said he's going to take care of them.
Well, like I said,
I got on my Facebook page this morning. It says Obamacare.
I know. They believe it.
Boy, did anybody see the news conference over there in Thailand on Saturday morning?
Mm-mm.
No.
Boy, you got. I'm telling you, the. Foreign press is not real happy with President Obama.
No, they're not.
He got some really hard questions about human rights and about dealing with Burma. And I mean, he was doing a lot of stuttering. I mean, he really was. They caught him flat-footed.
Uh-huh.
What did he have to ask? What did they ask him a question on Burma?
Yeah, Burma and human rights and yeah.
He talked a bunch of noise in that speech and he went. Here's the thing. You still have a novice doing a trained professional position. Now, maybe that's how the United States is supposed to work, is that we put novices in place. But once they get as technical as we are right now with how we have to have nuances with every part of the world, every landmass, multiple contacts on these landmasses, you need somebody that's not just being the shield for one set of people. You need somebody that understands the situation as well. They built this guy up, and they surrounded him with all of these left-wing people. And whether those his friends or not, this is who he surrounded himself with all his life, left-wing people. And
we'll just call them communists.
Well, we're in trouble. Look at Israel. They're getting attacked. Here, we're going to stand behind Israel. Okay. Well, where are you now when there, you got the Palestinians, I'm sorry, blaming Israel for the Palestinians sending rockets into Israel? That's what happened.
And the thing that makes me crazy about that is if Canada or Mexico shot one of those rockets into the United States, how long do you think it'd be before we overran the entire country?
Oh, my God.
Under this president?
A very long time.
Yeah.
That's true.
You never know.
We'd send him a strongly worded letter first.
Well, no, if it was Mexico firing the rocket, he would say, well, we made more room for some Mexicans to come over now. That's what he would say. I'm convinced of that.
I've got some concerns, guys, in Michigan. You know, you talk about this great, you know, when did we become this? We became inflated when we actually put in taxes.
Income tax.
Absolutely.
Woo!
That's when we started this.
That'd be 1913.
That's when you think about it, that's when we put in income taxes, that was supposed to be, and it was only for the top 1% at the time.
Well, it was only 7% for, if you extrapolate it out for inflation, it was only 7% on, I think, $400 million a year or more.
And it's supposed to be very, very temporary.
No, it was permanent because they passed a constitutional amendment to do it. No, it was intended to be permanent. But they played to the covetousness of the human soul. They played the American people perfect.
Like they did now.
Yep. And like they're doing now with Tax the Rich. I mean, the Democrat Party is very good at playing to the base evil in human nature. Very good to playing to it.
And now let me ask this, because I heard this a little bit earlier, and I'm going to take a break in about a minute and a half. Is it truly the Democrat Party, or is it just people in general? Because they say when Republicans get in, they don't change it.
Well, they can't change a constitutional amendment.
No, but they don't change the policies so that it eases. I mean, yeah, they'll do some, you know, tax cuts here, but as far as getting in and putting in programming that's going
You got me. It's the progressives of both parties. You got progressive Democrats and progressive Republicans. John McCain is a progressive Republican.
Absolutely.
So was George W. Bush.
So was Romney, actually.
Yeah, Romney was too.
But
I mean, you need to play that YouTube video of George Bernard Shaw explaining what the progressives believe.
We just need to clone Reagan and make him king.
I don't want no king.
I don't want no Reagan.
Actually,
for
Silent Cow.
Did you say Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, I want Ronald Reagan.
We need Silent Cow.
Here's the thing. Ronald Reagan
Simon
was...
Simon Cow.
Silent Cow. Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge, the man who presided over the 1919 Depression that nobody talks about, that he cut government spending by half, cut taxes, went and played golf, and it was over in 18 months.
So wait a minute. He went to play golf. What's wrong with it? He played golf. Why can't President Obama play golf?
He can if he cuts government spending in half and cuts taxes.
He's not going to do that.
Well, then he can't play golf.
But he has to play golf.
He doesn't have permission to play golf unless he cuts government spending in half.
Yeah, because those golf courses get expensive.
Yeah.
Got to make it up somewhere. Boy, dead silence.
I was getting ready to say.
What did we do? What did we do wrong here? We that must have been another undeniable truth that we put out there.
I used to be able to do the cricket sound. I can't do the cricket sound anymore.
I can't do it either.
No, Jeff. But you can sing. Damn, you can sing.
Gee, thanks, man.
Good show the other night.
He must have been really good. You must really have been impressed. It's like the fourth time you said that today.
I was. I was really impressed.
Let me tell you this.
Although he did call you up, you just weren't there.
Yeah, I said, now, Tracy.
Tracy, come on up. I heard you say it twice.
Yeah, because you told me you were on the way back, and so I.
Well, Friday night, Saturday night.
I had a mic right there for
right.
you.
Right.
See, that's
Ben tells me.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, you do a good CeeLo. You did a great CeeLo. I gotta tell you.
CeeLo. You didn't say a bad word, did you?
No, he wouldn't.
Of course,
say
I did.
You say just making sure.
No.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm gonna take my break. I'll be right back.
Civilians. While Palestinians strike back with rockets. in southern Israel. ABC's Alex Marquardt in Gaza City says Egypt is taking the lead in ceasefire talks.
Everyone is at the table for these ceasefire talks, but the list of conditions is lengthy and extremely complicated. And this morning, Israel warned that if an agreement isn't reached within hours, it could launch a ground invasion.
There was a tense meeting today between President Obama and Cambodia's longtime Prime Minister Hun Sen. Mr. Obama brought up his concerns about Cambodia's human rights violations. Authorities are searching for a dolphin killer along the Gulf Coast. Mutilated bodies of four dolphins have washed up on beaches from Louisiana to Alabama over the past couple of weeks, says ABC's John Shriffin.
What makes this even more incomprehensible to scientists is that dolphins pose no threat to us. Dolphins are highly intelligent, second only to people, but they are also a very accepting species.
They just love human interaction.
And that has experts here concerned. They're afraid whoever is responsible for the attacks is taking advantage of those friendly instincts.
An improving job market and cheap mortgages are spurring more home sales. National Association of Realtors says sales of previously occupied homes rose a solid 2.1% in October, 11% higher than a year ago. Real estate analyst Mike Larson says investors are pushing up those numbers.
The percentage of purchases being made as investments as opposed to actually just people looking for a place to live, we have seen the investor percentage, the investor market share increase quite a bit.
More Americans are using their credit cards again, racking up balances and increasingly skipping payments. This is ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Hostess Brands begins the process of selling itself today in a New York City bankruptcy courtroom. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
If not the whole company, at least pieces of Hostess will be sold. Robert Pasikoff of the consulting firm Brand Keys says the names are too valuable to resist.
I still remember that Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. The Twinkie, it's become part of the lexicon. Can't buy that.
What remains to be seen is whether such resonance is enough to attract buyers willing to take on the whole Hostess operation. They may buy Twinkies. The question is whether they also buy the bakeries and 18,000 employees that make them. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
The flavors of the holidays? This year's weird selection. Candy cane flavored Pringles, gingerbread shakes at Red Robin, chocolate truffle chapstick, the best-selling holiday Java at Starbucks, peppermint mocha. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 170 points. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security...
New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix with 14 vitamins, minerals, and herbs. Including vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin E, zinc, and echinacea. New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix. Real immune support.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling. Because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandi Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you had a good weekend. Again, I want to thank everyone who helped me as I went to New Jersey this weekend to deliver goods to storm relief victims that were a part of Hurricane Sandy. What a great, great learning experience, and I would recommend that we all step up and do something for someone outside of our normal comfort zone. Michigan man asked a question about the Great Society and what he thought about large government. And it is open mic today, so we'll go anywhere you want to go, and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about today. And again, the number is 347-945-5229. And what you just want to know, I appreciate all of you. In studio is Styx and Jeff. Ben couldn't take the heat anymore, so he ran away.
What? You know better than that.
What are you talking about?
You know better than that.
What are you talking about?
Ben couldn't take the heat.
Listen,
Ben is a soldier.
Have you ever heard that he who has the mic, you know, makes the rules?
Yeah, I see that.
There you go. I just want you to know. So tomorrow I'll be here at home alone, so I'm going to need some co-hosts. So those of you whoever wanted to be a co-host,
you
call me. Stop
a
in.
Good job.
Call in and stop in because you all know I hate being home alone. You know, I have disorders. Your mic is on 269. Jeffrey? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
We got Gaza Strip going berserk.
Yes, you do.
They should have waited until after the election to do all this. I mean, my goodness.
Well, they waited. They purposely waited until after the election to do
Why?
This.
Why?
Because they know that they're not going to be corrected.
What do you mean they're not going to be corrected?
They're not going to be corrected. All they have to do is fight Israel because the United States is not going to touch this. And that's my opinion. I could be wrong, and I hope I am.
No, wait a minute. I was reading papers yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I came home early, and I was reading the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And President Obama said he's not going to take this much longer.
Take what much longer?
Them messing with Israel.
Yeah, right.
That's what he said.
Yeah, so what's he going to do, go in there and smack Israel's hands, huh?
That's right.
Well, that's what they're saying. That you know, I saw the protest in Youngstown.
What protest in Youngstown?
There was, Saturday they had a protest in Youngstown, either Friday or Saturday.
Who had a protest in Youngstown?
The Palestinian people.
Against Israel?
Against Israel. But here's the thing. I couldn't understand it because they were protesting Israel bombing Gaza. But why didn't they tell the Palestinians in Gaza, don't bomb Israel, let's work this thing out some kind of way?
I think Israel needs commended because Israel has nuclear weapons and they haven't turned that whole thing into green glass yet.
Well,
I personally wouldn't put up with it.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. You know, at the thing of being hated by the world and the world turning on them, I think that this is where this is going because these people are going to agitate until they do something like that.
Israel ain't going back in the ovens.
No, they're not.
And I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. And I wish that the ones here could see that. The Jewish people here, God bless you, Mishpocha. But to tell you the truth, I do not understand your voting. I don't. I understand that in Israel, that
70%
of the Jewish vote voted for Mr.
Obama, absolutely.
No,
Romney.
Mr. Obama.
Romney.
No, I'm talking about in Germany.
In, In Israel.
Yeah, but in Germany in the 40s.
Oh, okay.
No, no.
Oh, they
helped bring Mr. Hitler to power.
Because you have to realize that the Israelis, most of them voted for Obama.
Well,
yes, they did.
The ones in the United States.
Yeah.
But the ones that are living, the American citizens that are living in Israel that can vote in our elections, 70% voted for Romney.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you that.
But look at it's on fire. This is a direct cause. Look. Egypt now is agreeing with the Palestinians.
They're going to blow. They want to blow up the pyramids and the Sphinx.
Who does?
The Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, have at it.
They want to blow up the pyramids and the Sphinx because they don't. They're against Allah, or they're not part of Allah, or something about Allah. An affront to Allah.
Have at it, Muslim Brotherhood.
You know it's funny.
See whether God cares about that. You know, and we'll see what happens there. You know, that's insane. Well,
I'm just saying. I'm looking at the Egyptian newspaper. I've been reading newspapers across the globe in the last couple of weeks because I found that their news is different than ours. And it's I don't know what we do with this.
With what? Israel?
Well, with this whole system. I mean. We're setting ourselves up for a powder keg. We can't afford. Americans can't afford to continue on this slippery slope that they're on, and go where they're going to go, do what they're going to do, and push past it.
Well, there's a simple answer, but nobody's going to do it.
And that is?
The simple answer is drill, baby, drill here in the United States. Get our own energy going. Tell the Arabs to go fly a kite, and we're going to protect Israel at all costs.
Why?
And that's the simple answer.
Why? Do you think that we will not do that? We have
Agenda 21, the radical environmentalists that are
a part of the United Nations.
The United Nations driving Barack Obama, driving the Democrat Party. Why would you want to close half of the power plants in the United States of America in a time of economic crisis? Why would you want to put thousands and thousands of people out of work over energy in time of an economic crisis? Why would you want to not drill for your natural resources when the geologists are telling you you've got more oil and natural gas in the United States than the rest of the world combined? Why would you take 9 million acres of federal land out of production the day after the election? Why would you do that if you truly wanted a safe and sane United States of America?
You remind me to tell Dave that I need to get some crickets.
You do need them. I mean, he's absolutely true. And that's a sit back and think about it moment after something like that was said. And we, you know,
What is the rationale? Somebody explain to me what the rationale is.
There is. And that's what I'm saying. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at America, and I'm looking at just, like I said, common sense. Common sense tells you that, you know, you need to be proactive because every year you have a disaster where FEMA has to show up. I'm looking at Salvation Army, not Salvation Army, but American Red Cross.
American Red Cross is a joke.
And I appreciate their blood bank, but they got a monopoly on everything. And I'm watching them collect money and redistribute wealth.
What's the
in the name of national disaster,
well,
but the people are not being affected by
what
it.
What does the head of the Red Cross make a year?
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million.
What's the head of Salvation Army make?
Oh, maybe $10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
one
what I'm keg saying.
from a medium sized store.
Hey, 269, you there?
Michigan man.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know your mics are hot. I got issues with that. I mean, I'm watching them, all these pretty pictures on the commercials with the Red Cross blankets on all that, and the lady telling me they put her inside of she's a 90-year-old woman. They put her inside of an ice skate arena and covered the ice floor with wood and said shelter.
Yeah.
But we got all these school gyms.
Well, you know, I think from just listening to you guys, the average conservative –
It's almost like just a, you just this what do you call that bird that repeats something every time you hear it?
A parrot.
A parrot. There you go. I'm still doing some research on this. Too much regulations and too big government, and basically who the cheerleaders for that is basically corporations. And you guys, none of you guys
true.
Don't here represent any big corporation. So
that's not true, Michigan man. Corporations are all for more regulation.
Oh no,
because,
they're not.
No. Because every time,
because
every time you get another regulation, it puts another little guy out of
business. They can't.
No.
They can't get.
They can't compete. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. What
not Michigan
you,
man.
No, that's not
Michigan
true,
man.
Y'all need to do some more research. Regulations do not put small entrepreneur out of business.
Hey, hold on.
Hypocrisy puts them out of business.
Hold on, let me.
What are y'all getting?
Tax loopholes keep big business in business, and regulation keeps small business out of business. Let me give you a case in point. You said to me, you got a friend who has a fishery.
That was Bianchi.
That wasn't you?
No, that wasn't me. That was Bianchi.
Okay.
He's talking about you know him. He's talking about the Black Label White Wealth author.
Right. Okay. So let's Claude Anderson.
Claude Anderson.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Bianchi might have been drinking a little cognac.
Now listen to what I'm saying. Right now, they are putting so much regulation on smaller businesses that you cannot absorb the regulation.
And I absolutely believe what he said about the water that he discharges. That
right.
Gentleman has to be, because my daughter in the coal mine, the water that's discharged out of that coal mine's got to be cleaner than what enters at the top of the hill.
Right.
Well, this is what I think. The talking point is, you know, less regulations, and I understand that. And to some degree, when you dig into it, you will definitely be able to find some places, you know, some examples of what you guys are talking about. So I'm not denying that, but I guess you kind of have to look at the intent of the regulations to determine whether or not they should be or shouldn't be. And I think when you look at them in their totality, right, if you don't have any regulations, the corporate America
will run
roughshod over this entire country. And I don't see why y'all don't see that.
And you know what? And I agree with you on that. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not an idiot. You thinking small business are being pushed out now by government regulation. Let corporatocracy run roughshod over this country, and you want to talk. Okay.
I agree with you.
No, okay. Nobody is trying to say let business run amok, no regulations. That's asinine. Nobody's saying that. What we're saying is you are adding to the flame of unemployment, throwing bodies up on the pile, okay? And with too many, up under this administration, you had 490 so far new EPA regulations. Now, that is, look at those regulations. If you're doing your background,
mm-hmm.
you look at the companies that those are going to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, look up under the banking regulations that they put in place.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, because some of them are too heavy, and the small banks are not able to loan you money because of the regulations that are on the banking industry.
Well,
I'm just saying they kill the big guy.
Uh-huh.
They kill the big guy, and the small guy, he can handle it because he's got enough money to outlast it,
right,
or to deal with it. But the small guy cannot. He's going to fold.
Well, and that's why
for example, here in Ohio, we increased the minimum wage.
Okay.
I know right off the top of my head two businesses that folded within 6 months because they couldn't afford it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why I say I think there are some examples that it's almost like there's a thin line. I don't think you can, you know what I'm saying, I don't think you can go too far either way. But the point of just saying, hey, get out the way, government, let this free market, which is there ain't no such thing, let it run its course. And you'll see the growth. That's a recipe for disaster too.
Did you just watch the series on history, The Men Who Made America?
No.
All right, you should have, because it goes through this pattern every time. You take a small business guy, because remember Rockefeller was a small business guy once,
uh-huh.
And he gets successful, and as soon as he gets successful, he buys off the politicians so that they'd knock his competition out.
Right.
That's what, and they do it with regulation, and they do it every time. Why do you think we haven't had a new car company in the United States, a startup from scratch?
Because they did. And they made sure he got taken out quickly.
Avanti. Yeah.
Avanti and DeLorean.
Yeah, DeLorean.
Okay, so let's talk about that, though. So is that a malfunction of government or a malfunction of the relationship between corporations and government officials?
It's a malfunction of both. Remember, the EPA.
Okay, well, let's talk. Give me the malfunction. How is it a malfunction to a corporation? Because he's saying, hey, this is free market. Hey, if I can buy off
that's
a politician,
not free market.
Hey, let me go for
it. Do you realize that the Better Business Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce was instituted to keep other businesses out, to protect other businesses that were in a certain area, so that when Honda wanted to come to a certain area, they would not be able to come because they only wanted workers to work at General Motors.
Well, but they all—that's what I'm saying. When business organize themselves, they do
Boardman
that.
Boardman Frame House.
Say that again.
Yeah, I said when businesses organize themselves to corner markets, right? So where they ain't free market, they all do that. Whether they use government or organizing themselves, like you say, into chamber of commerces or
correct.
Business associations
correct.
Or industry, so they always do that to
but
close
it,
markets.
But hold on. But what I'm saying is, and have we not learned from history that it is incorrect?
But it
didn't work. Because now we would kill to have a Honda plant, a Ford plant, and a General Motors plant here in our area.
And not only that, when they team up in a private sector, there's still an opportunity for some guy to get around them. But when you have the force of government, because remember, the ability to tax is the ability to destroy.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying when y'all
that's
go
the
that
truth.
Extreme.
The ability to tax is the ability to destroy. That's why we don't tax churches in the United States, and we never have. We've never taxed churches in this country because the power to tax is the power to destroy. And by not taxing churches, it gave them the freedom to preach from the pulpit what they wanted to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes the same way with the government. You can levy a tax on any industry in this country and put it out of business in 6 months or a year. Just look what they're doing to the coal industry.
Okay. So let me ask you this, then, Sticks. So since you don't want to limit the number of representatives, right, that are going to the federal government.
What are you talking about? When you say
representatives,
do you mean
like
elected representatives?
Yeah, senators and House
right.
represent those elected representatives, right? So we're not
okay.
In other words, we're not downsizing that part, right?
No.
Fine, work with me. Okay, so the relationship between corporations and those elected representatives, the issue of who's able to godfather regulations and policies for those corporate interests? Is that a failure of government, or is that a heavy hand of corporatocracy? Which one?
It's both.
But you
personally,
okay, now give me the example.
Now,
hold on.
I would repeal the 17th Amendment if it was up to me. And I would put the selection of senators back in the state, back in the hands of each state legislature. Because
why?
The Senate was designed to be the firewall between the House of Representatives and the White House, and it was also designed to be in a way, because senators were chosen by the state legislature instead of voted on, they were not beholden to necessarily to try to run for office.
See, I disagree with that. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I don't like anything that's going to cause another entity to become a legislative body for appointment. That's why I agree with issue two on the Ohio state ballot.
But your local representative through your state legislature is voting on your senator.
And I really want Hagan and Gerberry to vote on my state senator.
Well, see,
hello, but I got Craig Newbold voting for mine.
Well, aside from
maybe
the public safety issue, right? Aside from the public safety issue, the government providing that, the general understanding is that everything past that is really about interest groups looking for access to resources, right?
But listen to what I'm saying. Government resources. We need to have the resources of the government, but they should be used right now. When you have a national disaster, that's where the collective resources of all the states should come together and focus in on New Jersey and New York.
We need to quit saying the government has resources. The government has no resources.
Right.
The only resources the government has is what they extort from the people under threat of imprisonment.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, we have a situation where we have overtaxed the populace to the point of destruction. And we have so many entitlement programs that we are so top-heavy we cannot afford to pay them anymore.
Yeah, that part I agree.
Hold on. And then we've got people who receive the entitlement programs who are so much of them that they're induced in a coma that they can't live without them.
Yeah. The reform there, I think, that's almost a no-brainer that there needs to be some reform as far as the entitlement side. But I guess I was just trying to get a clear understanding from the corporate side, the relationship between government and corporations.
Do you want to stop corporate influence in government by a very large portion?
Yeah, how'd you do that?
Do away with the corporate income tax.
Huh?
Do away with the corporate income tax. If you had zero corporate income tax, because there's only two things a corporation can do with their money anyways. When they make a profit, they can either reinvest it in the company, which is a good thing for the shareholders, or they can issue dividends, which are taxed.
No, there's another thing that they can do with it.
What's that?
That is, use it for political and reinvest in influence. That's a market too.
But if they're not being taxed, There's no reason to buy influence.
That's
because,
not true.
Because 90% of lobbying doesn't hurt me with the tax code.
No, it's not.
No, that's clearly not true. If you look at the lobbying industry and really go through it with a fine-tooth comb to see what it is that corporations are doing through the lobbying process, has nothing to do with the corporate tax.
No, because see, the corporate tax code, they've got enough loops in the corporate tax code. That's why General Electric doesn't pay taxes.
Well, they don't pay taxes because they're FOBs.
Well, that might be so. What are FOBs?
Excuse me, FOOs, Friends of Obama.
Well, no.
They got huge kickbacks and subsidies for all that wind energy, solar, all that stuff.
That's incorrect because they didn't pay it during Bush.
Wait a minute. You're saying no, but you didn't hear what he said. Because I want to hear what he said.
Yeah, but he said, he's a friend of Obama, but you can't be Obama. Because he has to be friends of
Obama.
But
it went on steroids under Obama.
Well, no, they didn't pay taxes under Bush 1, Bush 2.
Then let's do away with the wind power.
It wasn't even about the wind power.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Who didn't pay anything during those times?
You got about ten corporations in America, major corporations that don't pay United States taxes.
Well, they don't pay
corporate taxes.
Most corporations don't pay corporate.
No,
taxes.
They pay any federal taxes.
Right.
And none.
They pay federal taxes, but they don't pay corporate taxes.
Because General Electric didn't pay any. And that's been going on for at least 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm positive.
That's the one that ticks me off.
What they say is they don't BP. They don't make any money onshore. They make all their money offshore. They actually take a loss onshore. That goes to $72,000 pages of tax code. But what I'm saying
is, I'm saying do away with corporate tax.
No.
But that ain't corporate. See, that's what I'm saying. To me, what you're trying to do is to take the lasso off of corporations. You want to cut them loose. See?
No. I want to force them to put their money where it needs to be put instead of in the hands of the federal government into reinvestment or to dividends for the shareholders.
Yeah.
Because do you realize up until about 1930, most people invested in the stock market for dividends, for cash flow, not for capital gains. But with the advent of the income tax, we changed our investing mentality in this country to where people started investing for capital gains instead of steady cash flow. A good solid company with a good steady dividend was worth way more money than a company that was appreciating quickly.
Yeah, but
and we need to get back to that.
The population don't have any stock.
The majority of the population does have stock.
They just don't know it.
They just don't know it.
Well, I mean, you talking about if you go and buy a bag of Doritos, if you talk
no.
about...
No. If you've got an IRA, a 401k, a pension plan, even government pension plans are
right.
invested in the stock
right.
market.
Right, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, what you're talking about, well, then you have to get back down to the those who don't have those benefits, those people who are employed.
Everybody can
have
a 401k or an IRA.
Yeah, you can, but a lot of people don't.
No.
Because, again, you got to understand, and this is where I said earlier, we have conditioned people who are a part of any type of government assistance program.
We need that map on the wall every day.
Which one?
That
Tracy
election map.
We have conditioned an entire part of the population that somehow their pension is going to carry them.
Listen.
And it's a lie.
Listen to what I'm saying. We have conditioned, and we are conditioning every day, the American electorate
yes.
to stay impoverished.
Right.
Why?
Because then you can control them.
But why? You have to understand.
Because.
Sticks, you're not listening.
I am.
No, you're not.
Okay.
Because when you have anything, they come and either take it from you or you get nothing. So when I have my health benefits and I can't get any kind of substance or any kind of assistance with my health benefits because you
okay, me.
Tell me that I make too much money. So I can't get any medical benefits. I can't get a prescription card. I can't get what I need. But I can't afford the copay. I make you indigent. Because indigent receives more than working poor.
Right.
So if I have any money saved anywhere, it hurts me more than helps me.
Because that is the entitlement slavery.
But it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter if you're working poor or if you're working at General Motors.
But what I'm saying, it doesn't. Well, if I'm working at General Motors, at least I have some of my needs, but I just need
to
know.
So you get laid off.
I need money management. Laid off is one thing. I still get a stipend. But you're looking at a lot of people who are working at Walmart, Kmart, Sam's Club, all these other places who are what you call really working poor. They are they're making $30,000 a year. They've got three people in their house. They are working poor. And for them to have any type of savings, it hurts them. It cripples their advancement.
Then why don't we just pass a health care law to make it harder for those people to have health care?
I can't answer why they did that, but I'm just telling what's happening. People are – they make it to where if you get laid off and you're on unemployment, you make more money staying at home looking for a job than you do going to
right.
work for the job.
Right.
And if you make any money, they take from the money that you
right.
have, but it never equals to the amount that you lost.
Right, and that was always my complaint when I worked in a factory. Because my wife stayed at home. Now, hear me out. My wife stayed at home with the kids. So when I got laid off, I couldn't go and get a part-time job
right.
without getting that money sucked off my benefit. But yet my counterpart who had a wife working, he didn't lose as much as I did, the biggest percentage of his income. I lost 100% of mine. He only lost maybe 25% of his.
I met a young lady the other day whose husband has MS.
Mm-hmm.
She had to quit her job so that her husband could have medical benefits. Are you following that?
I am following it. Yeah, it's the entire entitlement.
But that's not
the insanity. It's the insanity of government running this stuff.
That's what I'm saying. But see, I want to understand that people don't want to be entitled, but they condition you into entitlement.
Right.
And if you have any money saved up, they take away what you have.
Right. Because we got away from a system where everybody belonged to some sort of a mutual aid society, where there was common sense, where you would sit in front of a board of your peers or your neighbors and say, "Listen, I'm laid off. And I need some assistance, or I need medical assistance." And they said, "Yeah, you know, here's the doctor's things. You got MS. We're gonna help you." We got away from that system, and the government took it over. And the government doesn't have common sense.
But the government never took it over in my community. We never had that. We just
I don't believe it.
Neither do I. And
what,
not only that, they had totally took over in your community.
No.
You're in one handful
I'm talking about in the black community. We didn't have collective health care services.
Yes, you did.
Where?
You had your clinics.
What clinics?
You always had clinics in the black community.
I had no clinics.
Sure you do. You got one right up there on Wick Avenue.
You didn't have any associations like the Masons?
No. We weren't allowed to be Masons.
Community.
Pastor was a Mason, guarantee you. Not your in particular, but I'm saying. Locally here, if you had a Baptist or Methodist pastor, guarantee you, he was a Mason.
You didn't have the Grange.
No.
You didn't have. No. You didn't have any mutual aid society.
No. You had somebody's grandmama in the back who had to put together some kind of root that she put up together in the back, went in the back and prayed and had a Bible. That was about it. But as far as being able to go to a hospital because you were sick, absolutely not. You better hope the little white doctor would take care of you when you got sick.
You had a little white doctor?
Yeah, we had a little white doctor.
I never had a white doctor till I was grown.
Because you couldn't have, I mean, we didn't have that kind of system. We didn't have that kind of mutual aid.
No, I take that back. I had an allergist.
What about your churches?
White doctor.
The churches pray, period.
Right. Well,
your churches don't have benevolent societies, benevolence?
Yeah, but they send them away. Somewhere.
No, they sent, that was foreign aid.
Well, I mean.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No. They wasn't that structured. No. We took care of our own. Our neighborhood took care of our own. But
that's what a mutual aid society does. It takes care of your own.
But you missed the point. We didn't have no doctors. We didn't have no prescription. We didn't have no nothing. Because we wasn't allowed. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth.
Why wasn't you allowed? Would somebody come with a billy club and tell you you couldn't have it?
Yeah.
No. You didn't have, I don't know, Tracy, you don't remember things.
Jeff, I wasn't that old.
I'm going to say, you don't have to be that old. You're old enough to know what was in the black community, but I think you didn't grow up in the black community, so you don't know what happened.
Hell, if I didn't grow up in a black community, what, I grew up in a white community?
Yeah, you did. You grew up in Hubbard.
But that's what I'm saying, in a black neighborhood that wasn't allowed to go down the street past midnight.
That's not a black neighborhood. That's some black people in a white neighborhood.
But in the black community, they did not have the resources of that kind of commonality. They didn't have it. If they did, they would have bored themselves out of
it. They didn't own it, but it was there.
And they didn't own it because it wasn't there.
No, it was there, but they didn't own it.
And
it was always white owned.
Okay.
And so that's why you have this image now. The white man can provide my need. You have to understand. That's what this.
That's
comes
what
from.
I'm saying. Yeah, he said that they owned theirs. I'm saying we
didn't.
Yeah,
you didn't own it.
That's what I'm saying.
You had
a little white doctor who would come in and see you if it was convenient. You always had to go to them. But as far as you having a commonality to where you had a system, there was no system in the black community at all.
Not black owned system. No.
Again, but theirs was owned.
Like I said, not black owned, but it was there. That it was available, okay?
You had to go to the back door of the pharmacy.
I don't know about that. See, maybe it's just different, but my grandfather and my father, and then they never went through that, okay? There was always things around to get things done. And my grandparents were not rich or well off by any reason. They were poor people. My father's adopted father was poor. He worked in the coal mines in PA before he came here and started working in the steel mills, and did infinitely better then than he did.
They took care of what they had, but as far as what Sticks is talking about with a commune, we didn't have those.
No, you didn't have no commune. But
I'm not saying commune. I'm saying mutual aid society. You belonged to a club and you paid your dues to the club, and it was like your insurance payment.
No,
and it was very common. 80% of the people in this country belong to a mutual aid society prior to the turn of the century. Turn of the 20th century.
But did they have them in that black community?
No, you did not have.
That's what I'm saying.
Not even in prosperous areas such as Harlem?
No.
Oh, I doubt. I don't know about Harlem, but
334, your mic is on.
Being available here.
Yeah. I was listening earlier when you guys, one of the gentlemen said that we need to stop taxing businesses, but... And I just feel like constitutionally, I think the way it was set up, just from reading it from my own personal understanding, the businesses is one of the taxes that are okay. It's the personal property, which is basically anytime you work your personal, if you go and work, basically if you sell your time to any type of person, y'all have an agreement, that's your personal property. And that cannot be taxed, just like our land shouldn't be taxed. And so I feel like they've been able to kind of spin it around completely on its ear. Now we're talking about not taxing corporations' businesses, which is really constitutional. So it's kind of it's backwards to me to think that we can't, you know what I'm saying, we can't, really, and I think we need an overhaul. I just think this system is kind of been turned on its ear, and I don't really see us coming out of it. I really, because there's too many people like the Obama phone lady, you know, that really want to get things, you know, and they're going to vote things in. And I really don't even think he really won his last election. I think he cheated, but cheating to win elections now, it's over.
Why do you think he cheated?
If they're cheating now, it's over. It's nothing you can do. We're just alone. It's like you put your arms in, and you know you're getting to go to the fair or the amusement park, and they say keep your arms in. That's what we are now. We on the Batman ride, and we just alone for the ride now. Because we about to go. I mean, we go on a roller coaster. These niggas.
You opened up a can of worms. Why do you think he cheated?
Because for one, I'm not even in Ohio. There is no way you can win 99%. Of a district with 7 different choices. 21, did you win the whole city of Cleveland. Then you're down in Florida. What is it, Alan West? The girl from Utah. What, Mia Love? Things are going on. I'm saying, like, how this girl lost in Utah with all those Mormons out there? I just, you know, they saw her as a threat because she was kind of like Barack in the way she spoke, but she was a female. She's black. She had to be destroyed. People, to sit up here and say they didn't cheat, It's just, you know, and it's like, and what really bothers me about the stupidity of Mitt Romney, instead of making those dumb comments, he should have went to Cleveland and say, look, let's, you know, let me get 5,000-6,000 people showing up saying they voted for me to show that they cheated. But instead, he's making dumb comments that are going to come back to bite whoever. Like Bobby Jindal's comment sounded good, but in its observation, it's Monday morning quarterbacking because, well, you don't insult people that need help. Well, yeah, that sounds good and dandy, but the truth hurts sometimes. And he think, see, you're giving him the point, the premise that it's an insult. It's not an insult. My mom and my dad said things to me when I was growing up as a child that were good for me. They weren't insulting me. It wasn't a personal attack. They cared about me and they wanted what's best for me. And if we care and want what's best for even that lady that's screaming out there for her Obama phone, she probably need to get off the government, you know, breast. Which is the bottom line.
No.
Corporations are the same way. I feel like a lot of these corporations need to go under, quit saying they're too big to fail, quit pumping all these billions of dollars into them, let them go because somebody will fill that void if we really want to truly believe in capitalism. Now, if we don't believe in it, then let, you know, keep pumping all this taxes in them and then letting them vote to where they can cheat and block those car companies you guys were talking about. They buy, there have been plenty of electric cars, cars that run on Crisco. You can go on YouTube and find it. You got cars running on Crisco, which is way cheaper than gas, but they won't, you know, for some reason, Ford and GM bought the plans, and we've never seen it come into fruition. Why? Because they don't want to see you get out there and do that.
Just look at what we can do with compressed natural gas. I mean,
well, yeah, that seems to be the future.
That's
way.
The hot setup. That's the hot setup, but you can't get anybody to go along with it because we're going to have coal-fired cars, and we ain't going to have no coal-fired power plants.
That's just. I'm gonna take a break in just a second, but I do have a question for you. Somebody, they're telling me Alan West down in Florida that there are precincts that have seven registered people, yet he got 900. There was 900 votes that came out of it. Did I read that wrong?
No,
I haven't read that.
No.
That
at least
correct.
Alan West has the gall to fight. A lot of these guys just went home. Like I would have fought to the bitter end. Call me racist. I don't care. I'm gonna fight. If you got people that don't want to fight and they want to just give up, then man, I lost faith in them. I'm gonna fight to the end. You ain't finna come up in there talking about you got all these votes in districts and stuff. I wouldn't have conceded. It ain't been calling me racist, all types of stuff. But I've been showing up, proving that it would have been. I made a big fuss about
my
that.
My question is, how do you? And I gotta take a break. And I'm glad to hear from you, Alabama. I'm so concerned about how do you have 7 registered people and 900 votes?
Well, the problem, the real problem, at least Alan West had the balls. He's from the military. He done had his life on the line before. So he's the type of guy, he's going to show up, he's going to fight. Those are the type of people we need, fighters. Man, these guys ain't fighters up there. They all about batting in their own pockets. Man, I get out of winning there and cut the food they done did me like that, I promise you. I will not concede that election. That's just no way I do it.
He has not done that.
Like
he has
that.
Not conceded yet. But my question, I'm watching this, and I'm getting a lot of, but I don't understand. They're telling me the math just doesn't work out.
I mean, Obama winning the election was a statistical miracle. It's on certain counties. If you just do the math, it's clear they cheated. But, hey, you know, we just gave it away. I mean, if you're going to give up, then it's nothing you can do. We deserve, even with the Republican, all these people that are upset, that are in office, that could have done something, we deserve whatever we get when this guy comes in and do it. Because when you had a chance to at least, I would have showed up in Cleveland, like, look, I'm coming to Cleveland, and I want to see who voted for me. Y'all show up. You get a big crowd of 30, 40,000 people showing up. Wait a minute. How did Obama win? You see what I'm saying? He didn't even do that. He just walked away.
Honestly, in Cleveland, Ohio, in the precincts that he won, I can see him getting
100%. I can't.
Why?
It's impossible because you have somebody like a me or you that is
at
living in that area. One.
You can't get 100%.
Tell me there were no votes for him in a precinct. Tell me how you got 900 people in a precinct and you get 1,100 freaking votes for the one man.
No, don't get me wrong. I understand.
But why not they calling this? See, this is the problem. They're not going to even call it, and which made me think that they did not want to win in the first place.
That's what I'm saying.
And so I feel, you know, it'll be really hard for me to carry the medal for people that will not listen to us when we try to tell them, you're blowing it here. Okay, number one.
I agree with that. Now, don't get me wrong. I agree with the having 700 people living in a neighborhood and 1,000 votes.
Yeah.
Now, that I agree with. But I can see, because I look at my neighborhood, I can see them getting 100 votes, 100%
hey,
in my neighborhood.
No, you can't. Let me tell you something about black people. Black people are not just so pro-over. There's just no way. Black people are that. I know a lot of black people. I'm in Montgomery, and we're on the census list. It's being one of the most densely populated black areas in America. You can look it up. And I know a bunch of black people that didn't vote for him. They showed up, they wrote in somebody, or they came in and they voted. They didn't vote for Mitt Romney. I'm going to be honest. But a lot of them didn't vote. It's a lot of black folks.
There's no way
everybody that showed up voted for. Man, come on. That's just ridiculous. You got enough people can't read, probably went in there and filled out Romney by mistake. There's just no way. You shouldn't have got that many votes.
Hey,
come on, man.
Go ahead.
Michigan. Hey, Jefferson, he's not going to support the conservatives because they won't listen to him. Now, this is what normally happens when the white folk don't listen to black folk. If they know they need them, they'll usually, like I said, give them an Obama phone, or they might have to give you a plaque or something, the outstanding conservative plaque, and you'll be back with them. It don't take much.
I don't think
he's voting with them because of that. I think he's voting with them because of principles. Just from the people on here, even you, Michigan, I think you're a principle. You whatever you decision you're going to make is because you believe you thought it out. That's all I ask. I don't want you showing up. I don't want people in Montgomery. I know people that voted and were upset because there were uncontested Republicans on the ballot. Like, that's how unsophisticated, unthought out a lot of these black people are. That bothers me when you got all these Hispanics coming over here speaking at the convention. They about to come and get all the jobs from the black people. They finna get amnesty. It's about to be through for black people. And I'm going to admit we deserve it because we so pro-black to the point where we can't. Wait a minute now. What about my pockets first? I'm pro-black, so what you going to do?
Hold on.
And they not thinking like
green.
That.
But you pro-green first.
Michigan.
Let me pull up this local call, I got some calls in the queue. Local call, your mic is on the air.
Hi, yes, I have 2 points. Okay, first, everybody thought that the first time Bush ran that he stole election too, and that Gore gave in too soon, and he didn't contest the votes, the hanging chads, the famous hanging chads in Florida. Now I forgot.
Gore fought it all the way to the Supreme Court.
I want to say it's pretty sneaky on Obama's end that he waited till after the election to say, oh, we're going to cut the food stamps. If he would have said, we're going to cut Ohio food stamps, $50 back in, let's say maybe October.
Never happened.
He would have told us. He wouldn't have got elected.
You know,
but he waited. That was pretty smart. Because they waited right until like, 2 weeks after the election. Oh, we're going to, by the way, we're going to cut the food stamps.
The
so
news
that
media knew.
His part. Brown comes around, and that Bush, everybody was protesting when he got in the first time, saying that, you know, he cheated. So everybody cheats, I guess. I don't know. And that's all I have to say. Bye-bye.
But I got to tell you, I never thought about the food stamp thing, because if they had found out the food stamps were getting ready to get cut, they wouldn't have stood in line 5 hours.
And Alabama's perfectly correct. Gore fought it all the way to the Supreme Court.
He did. Gore
fought
it.
So he didn't lay down.
Nah.
So...
I mean, you know what? I can respect somebody that fought. If you fight, just like when you're growing up, you know, you let a guy bully you around, he slap you and take your money, you sit there crying like a punk. You deserve it. But if you say he gonna have to whoop me unconscious before I just let him take it. Next time he ain't gonna slap me, he gonna be like, you know what? If this guy gonna come with a fight, I better think twice before I just let him have it.
I love our calls.
Hold on, 214. Your mic is on. 214-693-214. Area code 214. Your mic is on. Hey, you just hit the button. Liberal, Stanley, your mic is on.
He ain't talking.
Hey,
to
Tracy.
Today.
How are you?
Hey, Stanley.
Hey.
So again, we're again talking about the election. Are we going to get over that shit again?
No. No, because the election continues. It never stops.
Oh boy,
we're still trying to decide.
It never stops.
A state representative in this state.
Yeah, because you said Newbold, and I'm like, did he win? Because I heard he lost.
Hey Stanley, that's called, you know, that one thing, cry baby.
They gotta keep on doing that over.
Well, this
over.
Is not about this is not about
oh
crying,
God,
but you gotta come on now, guys. You gotta understand. No, listen to what I'm saying. You got to understand, and this is not about the election will never go backwards. But the question is, how can you have, you know, 500 people voting and registered and come up with 1,200 people voting? You can't. That doesn't make sense. And well, now, don't get me wrong, nobody's saying anything about it, so I guess it's going to work out for the good of whoever wants it to work out for. But you can't tell me that it makes sense, because it just doesn't.
But Alabama's still on.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, the issue of, I think I agree with you on the issue of what's about to happen to, you know, black folk as it relates to, you know, where they're going to stack up now with the rest of the...
Not tailgate, triple play.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Alabama, you talking to somebody else. Hold on, brother.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to, I'm on lunch too now. I'm trying to pontificate. I'm gonna eat my chitlins and go to the gym and run it off the day.
Right, wait a minute, did you say you're eating chitlins?
No, I ain't eating. I hate chitlins.
Oh, okay, just checking.
But what you were saying, man?
Yeah, what I was gonna say, man, is you're absolutely right now as far as, you know, what interest as far as blacks, they now will be under Latinos and they're gonna be able to work the system a little better. But I don't think it has anything to do with black people like being too pro-black or not engaged in the political process enough. I do think we're not as politically sophisticated as we used to be. That's the only thing it seems like you guys don't ever tie in the historical piece. It's not like black folks been sucking their thumbs since they've been over here, right? We've made a lot of progress in the political process with electing officials and stuff like that. What y'all guys want to put the blinders on and say, resistance, right? The resistance that black have had, Latinos are not going to have the same resistance now that we've had historically. It's almost like we've been beat down. That's not a cop-out. That's just a fact, man.
But let me say this
to you, Latinos, you and I disagree with this. Like we were.
Over the weekend, I watched a commentary on Harold Washington, which was the first black mayor of Chicago. And remember, he died during his first term in office. And I don't think we understand that the leadership that we had with Harold Washington and the leadership that we have in 2012, even though they hang on the bootstraps of the people that ran before us, they're not the same people, nor do they have the same integrity, nor do they have the same stick-to-itness, nor do they have the same focus of making sure that the people that they actually represent come out of where they are. And so it's not that we've not been sophisticated in our past. The problem is the generation that we have in front of us. And I have to say this, I do not agree with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley on the socialization of America, but I do agree with the punking and the pimping that Americans are doing to people and that we are not saying anything about. Because right now, Cornel West and Tavis Smiley at least have it right to say that this guy is pimping you and we're not doing nothing about it, and the mouthpiece that are coming on MSNBC.
But Tracy, I mean, I understand. I like Cornel West and Tyler Smiley to a certain extent. I don't like everything they say. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got more people listening to Steve Harvey that dog those people out, Tom Joyner. So they being paid by the administration to call in and make little cool jokes about how cool he is and how smooth he is and how good he looks. That's where the most of black people in the going to work, working people that pay bills a lot of times, that's who they listen to. They ain't listening to those. I mean, it ain't like they on BET no more. I mean, where are we seeing these guys? I mean, these guys are on white. They're on Fox Radio, Fox TV, Larry Elder. They showing up on talk radio. They're not really – they on NPR. The black folks don't – I mean, they're not really doing – I mean, if you're going to do that, you need to put it on during the, you know, NBA basketball or something where you're going to have a lot of black people watching.
But, Alabama, this is the problem that I have. You know, people like me, we're struggling every day to get as far as we go. You know, you guys catch us on Blog Talk, but we're also on terrestrial radio also. And we own this sucker trying to make it go advanced so that people can hear us. You follow where I'm coming from? And yet we're going after the people. We're going after truth. So we're going after Republicans and Democrats to go and tell a community that we need to come together, think, and get some common sense to make this right.
I mean, but let's be honest. People, I heard Alfonso Rachel say this. He said, you know, a lot of times people dog out MSNBC and say nobody's watching. You got enough people watching MSNBC, a lot of black people primarily watching this.
Yep.
And
yep.
Every time somebody says something against Obama, oh, he's racist. That's just outright lazy. You don't want to really look into the issue and see, well, Obama's wrong. No, you're racist. Anybody says anything, that's why most 90% of black folks you talk to on the Tea Party racist, anything somebody said against Obama's racist. Right now they're talking about Benghazi's racism. They're going against Suzanne Rice because she's black. Instead of saying, well, man, she did a bad job. They went out here and lied for 2 and 3 weeks. Nobody wants to really vet these people. I've never seen a politician get away with so much. Petraeus got threw out just to block as a decoy. It's just, I've never seen nobody get away with this much stuff.
But look, listen to what I just said. Look at what we're talking about. Do you realize that Petraeus was the head of the CIA? And I haven't heard him get on TV like Tiger Woods and say he was sorry for having a winky on his wife.
Sure he did.
Who did?
Petraeus.
When did he say that?
Last week when he announced it.
No, he said no. He announced that he did it, he walked away, and he was resigning. But he did not hold a press conference like Tiger Woods and say he was sorry to the American public.
He's not an athlete.
But he did, though. I don't understand I don't know what news you're watching. I watched him say on there, I apologize, and I'm resigning because I think that what I did was above and beyond this, and it denotes that I no longer
be in. So you're telling me he got the same amount of press time as Tiger Woods?
Are you telling me
the same press conference that Tiger Woods had to stop and held is the same press conference that the portrayal
held? Tiger Woods was what you call a high-tech lynching.
So
they lynched Tiger Woods, and the people of the press were looking at how this icon, and they were looking for the conservatives behind this so that they could blame them. So they're letting Tiger talk.
So you're saying it is not equal?
No, because Petraeus is a conservative. So therefore, they're on their way to just killing him. They don't want him to have time.
So you're telling me it is not the same, and so the public acknowledgement of this whole issue is not the same.
Never the same.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know how you were saying it, though.
The difference is between athlete and general.
That's what I'm saying. One was a general.
Because for some reason, Tiger Woods is supposed to be some kind of an example, and
the general's not.
No.
The head of the CIA, I'm watching, and that's what I'm saying. It's not equal. But yet one is a public figure, and he's a general, and he's a CIA director, and the other one plays golf.
And why didn't Bill Clinton resign
in the White House? Absolutely.
Why didn't he resign in shame?
That's what I'm saying. It's not the same. And so when I hear Bill, who's out of Alabama, saying the same thing, I'm saying this is not right. There's something that's going on here. And we've been dumbed down and we've been numbed around that we're not getting the effects that we should for the people who we should care about, called representatives and not just athletes.
We're not demanding moral turpitude out of our leaders.
Why?
All of them.
Moral turpitude, right?
There should have been an outrage for Bill Clinton to resign. There should have been an outrage every time one of these things happens with a politician of either party. There should be an outrage and a demand for resignation.
And why not?
Well, then they
but you know what? Why should we force these people? Why should we force these people to resign? I mean, I think it's integrity thing. That's between him and his wife.
Yeah.
This dude should have went up there and testified about whatever he had to say. It shouldn't have had any effect on it. But the media is going to make a big deal out of it because they want to protect Obama.
I can tell you why, at least from my opinion. Ross Perot said it best. If you made a vow in front of God to your wife and she can't trust you, how can I ever trust you?
Well, you need to empty all the seats out then.
Because that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, and I'm going to take my break, we are, our moral compass is really, really shifting and shattered. But when I say, you know, about whoever resigns or whoever does what they do, when I look at Susan Rice, she made a mistake. But she made a mistake on behalf of the White House because that's what they told her.
She made no mistake.
I think she was set
all
up.
All she did was just what they accused Condoleezza Rice of doing.
I think she was handed a piece of paper and she
right.
Wrote.
And she stuck to her script.
That's all it was. And you know, I understand. You know, I don't want to dog her in a certain way either because all she's doing is being
manipulated by the
president.
She's
not manipulated. She's a willing participant. She's
right.
Manipulated.
She's doing exactly what she's
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
It is now possible to get more than 1,000 radio stations, including the station you are listening to right now, from nearly anywhere with iHeartRadio. The devices that make this possible include iPhone, Android, iPad, tablet, Mac, and PC. Listeners now have the option to listen to live radio stations from across the country, giving them maximum portability. All one has to do is download the free app at iHeartRadio.com.
Stay connected to News Talk 600 anytime, anywhere at iHeartRadio.com.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
How did we get here? Dad's in the hospital again. Mom is so confused. Where am I going to find help? Do I put them in long-term care? What about rehab? The hospital called and I've got to make a decision.
These questions are part of the stress someone feels when they're caring for someone they love that's getting older. If the stress of caring for your own family and for your elderly loved one is becoming too much, Ivy Woods Manor in North Lima is a guardian elder care facility that provides a secure environment and expert care. Each member of our community is treated with compassion and understanding. We offer skilled nursing and advanced specialty short-term rehabilitation, as well as memory care and cognitive health management, all in a quiet, peaceful setting in North Lima.
Our state-of-the-art facilities and expertly trained staff ensure that your elderly loved one gets the compassionate care they need. Find out more about Ivy Woods Manor in North Lima online at ivywoodsmanor.com or call 330-549-3939.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandy Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
You had an accident and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? Affordable liability insurance from Safe Auto. For not a lot of money, you can protect yourself from your own mistakes. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO now. Drive safe, spend less, Safe Auto.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. And tomorrow's going to be open mic. We're going to do open mic tomorrow and Wednesday. I'll be here for the rest of the week by myself, so I'm going to need for you to call in with your comments, your thoughts. Be a little bit all over the place, I'm quite sure, because we, you know, everybody comes from different walks of life. And so I'm going to need for you guys to call in and tell us what's on your mind. There, I guess there's a water spout that just came off the coast of Australia. Water spout caught on tape off the coast of Australia. It said it was like 10 trains coming through a house. Wow.
Especially with that water.
Yeah. Wow.
Heavy.
That's amazing. And it's in South Wales, Australia. That's amazing. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And when you, Stanley, your mic is on. Just don't make a whole lot of noise bumping up that mic against everything. Or I have to mute you. That's what I have to do because it's just too much noise. 214, your mic is on. 269. Okay.
Stanley didn't get a Stanley gone.
No, Stanley's there. He just somewhere in the wind. Somewhere doing something.
He never finished it. We're not just talking about the election, Stanley. We're talking about the fallout of the election now.
But I'm just saying, I mean,
we're talking about the numbers. I mean, nobody's disputing that President Obama isn't the president. We're just saying that there's an awful lot of irregularities. And you know, the sad thing is the only two things that keep people from shooting at each other over elections is one is the belief that they're a fair and honest election. The other one is a totalitarian state. And the more we keep having irregularities in our election, blatant irregularities, the more that you're going to drive people to distrust the elections, the election process. And that makes for an unstable nation.
I think we're there.
Well, I think
in the next 4 years.
When you've got 20,000, a minimum of 20,000 people from each of the 50 states.
Can I?
petitioning for secession, you got a problem.
I got a question. Well, they think people think they're doing that because they're racist and they have black presidents.
They're actually crazy, is what they are. I mean, why would you? The last thing a man should do is put his name on a petition at White House. Scott Gubb says, "I want to leave the country."
But I got a problem. I got a problem with voter suppression.
I had this discussion the other night. I got attacked by a group of people going to a place where I was playing at the other night. They jumped all over me. I saw you on Facebook. Why don't you support Obama?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
But my question is, when I talk about voter, why next year, when it comes down to the local elections of the mayor's race, it looks like John McNally has made it official that he's going to be running for mayor of Youngstown. Tell me, are they going to be yelling about voter suppression and taking the same energy that they took in this year as they did next year?
No, because being the state that if the Democrat that they kind of raise up to run against Kasich does not win.
No, not this. No. That's year to next. I'm talking about next year.
Oh, I thought that was this year.
No. Governor's in 2 years.
Okay.
Governor is in 2 years.
Tell me something.
Yeah.
Why did we vote? Oh, we voted just this spring for the sheriff, right?
Right.
Okay, never mind.
Was it this spring? Yeah.
Because
there was Jerry. Because
he takes office in January.
Yeah, Columbiana County voted this fall.
Yeah, because you guys had a contested race. Who's that?
Yeah, this is 269. The thing about Gore and his deal, I mean, eventually, you know, the Democrats are saying all the Republicans cheated and all that stuff. I mean, it was a little whining, you know, for about 6 months after the election. But then, for the most part, people just went on about their business. Now, I'm hoping that the Republicans, you know, will kind of do the same thing. And, you know, now all of a sudden we scam people now. Oh, man, elections are a fraud. But there are always, in every election, are some irregularities. But for the most part, they do run pretty smooth. Now, I don't know how long the conservatives are going to be beating this drum of the system is corrupt now, the voting system.
We're not going to be beating that drum.
I don't think they're beating the drum at all now.
That's what Sticks just was doing.
No. I said the only two things that keep people from shooting at each other over elections is, one, belief in a fair and honest election that everything's done right, or two, is a totalitarian study or totalitarian state.
And then right after that, you said people don't think that the elections are fair right now.
Well, they don't.
No.
They don't because they don't, because if they did, they would not have been saying that there was voter suppression.
Yeah, but they say that every election.
So hold up. So what do you? That's what I'm saying. So is there voter suppression, or did they create a false sense of fear to make people vote?
They do that too.
So what was it? Because was it either unfair, or
would you? When me and my wife went and voted, now we was there wasn't many blacks, you know, in the line with us, and I promise you, when we got to the line, they put my wife through the ringer. Now we more sophisticated, but I could have went and found a camera and said, oh, they cheating. They tried to suppress our vote.
This interests me. This interests me. Tell me what they did to your wife. Put her through the ringer, please.
Okay. Well, they said that her signature on her some signature didn't match on some other document, so she had to fill out two other forms. I mean, it took about probably another 45 minutes. About some signatures not matching. And you have people behind the thing, the challengers, you know, poking at the people. But, you know, I could have found the camera and said, oh, look, they're trying to suppress the vote. So I'm just saying that to Tracy's point, you're going to have people that do that on both sides after every election.
But
you just take that with a grain of salt.
But that wasn't my question. See, I'm with you on the signatures and all that. I mean, there's some crazy stuff out there. I'm talking about, I heard that right now they're going after John Houston, who's our Secretary of State, with a vengeance, talking about he created a voter suppression climate in the state of Ohio because it was an unfair election because they tried to suppress the votes of African Americans. Have you not heard that?
I didn't hear that, but if what's crazy about that is, then how in the heck did the president win by such huge margins? If voter suppression was
because they won by huge margins because they've got to keep this ball rolling because they're going to demonize him the same way they demonized Ken Blackwell.
Yep. And I talked to somebody about that the other day.
They demonized Ken Blackwell, who was Secretary of State when Bush was running, and they said that he's the one who stole the election for Bush in 2000. You remember that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
So how is it that you can have voter suppression when you vote 30 days?
Nobody in Ohio was voter suppressed. I mean, so, I'm sorry. It's just you just got to look at the common sense of it all.
So tell me why are they still playing on this and they're throwing John Houston when we've had one of the smoothest elections that Ohio's ever had.
Because they need to win state offices again. That's all. This is political theater and it's power.
We need somebody to do that Al Gore thing they played upon your fears. We need somebody who can do a good Al Gore because that's what they're doing.
So is this not the truth? Because what I'm concerned is they, again, going back into my entitlement mentality of zombieism, they are engaging in a 2012-14 election.
Mm-hmm.
Here in 2012, making sure they keep this going so people are no longer thinking for themselves and they can continue to charge them when necessary.
But the thing is, it works different. You can get a few representatives out of the urban areas, but the people out in the rest of the state. If you remember, what was it, 14 or 18 counties? 14 counties is all that Barack Obama won. And we have a representative state house, so it's only still one vote.
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is it's based on population, so Cleveland doesn't have any more power in the state legislature than Columbiana County does.
Yes and no. They've got more people out of there because of their population.
Right, so maybe they'll end up with a couple more.
In the state house they do, but they're mostly,
right.
But the state is still Republican.
Right.
You got to understand that the vote didn't have anything to do with federal wise or statewide.
Statewide,
it's still unfair.
It's unfair.
Still unfair.
What do you mean it's unfair? Now you lost me.
I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm not going to go there.
I'm lost on that one too.
When I say unfair, I mean you said this got more than one vote in the Columbiana County. That's not true. Cuyahoga County has more. Votes out of there because they have more of a population base.
Right, right,
right.
Well, yeah, I understand that it's a representative republic.
Right.
But what I'm saying is there's more people outside of the urban areas total that are going to think alike because you're going to have a representative from Columbiana County thinking very much like a representative from, say, Carroll or Harrison County.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Ohio, face it, Ohio is a rural state.
Ohio is a rural state. When you look at it this way, the only time that you see a rise in the urban settings is during the presidential election.
Right.
Outside of that, there's no rise in election. And because of it, you don't have the same representation of the urban areas as you do the rural areas in off elections. Does that make sense?
Sort of, kind of.
Okay. When you look at the numbers statewide, the House is still represented by the Republicans.
Right.
So that's why you have Batchelder.
I don't know who he is.
Batchelder is your
Batchelder.
Batchelder. Batchelder is your Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Statewide.
Right.
Here in Ohio. And then you've got Newhouse, who is a representative over in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Senate is still state Democrat. I don't think it moved.
In Ohio?
In Ohio.
I thought we had the House.
I think we have the House, the Senate, and the governorship.
Right.
In this election, not right now, not where we sit.
Yeah, where we sit.
No,
now.
That is not true.
Oh, they lost the Senate.
That's not true.
We lost the Senate.
That's news.
No.
How do you lose the Senate and not lose the rest of the House and the people that were running?
Well, you use the House, but the state Senate, because you have Newhouse is the is a minority whip.
Okay, well,
let me look it up during the break.
Okay.
334, go ahead.
Yeah, I was initially on here. Is Stanley still on here?
Stanley's still there.
Stanley. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you, and I know this ain't the appropriate place to do this. Do you listen to a guy by the name of Steve the Dean Williams?
Of course.
Oh, man, that you called a couple of times, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I figured I knew that voice from somewhere. I said, I know that voice. But anyway.
Oh, this was just identity time. Okay.
I just his voice sounded. He just got this funny voice, and he called a couple of times to call Steve up, and I was like, I listened to a couple of episodes, and I remember he was on there, but I didn't want anything. I was just listening, but I just wanted to ask that question.
This is social hour now.
What? Alabama.
Okay.
What's up?
Steve calls in wanting to talk to Diva. Now we got.
Since you didn't let out, what program did he call?
It was a dating show,
a dating program that was.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
It was basically explaining the situation of why black women and black men is not working. So.
I wouldn't say that's the premise of the show. I think he's just about it's about being a man and
being
aggressive
and it's not necessarily against black women, but it's helping a man and standing up for yourself and not accepting being disrespecting and things like that. Having having some law and codes for yourself and respecting yourself.
I like the show. I bought a few of his products. I actually like it.
I feel like it. And Tracy talks about it sometimes. Sometimes she talks about what happened to the man. Sometimes she does. Sometimes she does open that door.
I do open the door.
I mean, it's kind of privileged what we're talking about because when you look at, we talk about sometimes about men can't be men anymore in the society, the feminization of our men. And so I think that's real prevalent, and I think he's gonna get more popular because it's refreshing to hear a man talk about being a man and not being being unabashed and not afraid of I don't want to, what if she doesn't like what I have to say, or what if she, you know, is just real doubtful. He's not like that. I like that about Steve.
No, I agree with him. And Tracy, he has the
Alley House. Tracy, what?
And Tracy, he has the philosophy that when a man says no, that he doesn't want to have a kid, it means no. He has that philosophy also. He doesn't believe in a woman being.
Then he better adjust himself, okay? He better adjust his actions, because if he doesn't want kids, then that means do not have unprotected sex, my man. That's what it means.
Yeah, but Jeff, you still didn't answer the question. Even if you don't, if you have protected sex, the condoms can still break, and the woman still.
And
has
so he's responsible. He is responsible.
Jeff,
I think still part of that is still standing up, even if the female chooses to have it. I mean, a part of being a man is accepting responsibility for your actions, regardless. If that female chooses to have that child, then so be it. Then he still should. That's what I get from it is that. You're going to be a man regardless. You know, you keep it 100 from the jump and tell them where you stand. Don't be afraid to tell them where you stand. But if it turns a certain way where you aren't comfortable, you still stick to your codes and laws that you already have.
And that's where I agree. But I feel like a lot of women basically have that power switching it up to the man and saying, you know what, you're going to be a father now. And the guy said, I never wanted to be a father. And then we get the whole thing, like Tracy said, what happened to the father? Where are the father in the house? You know what happens to the father in the house, Tracy? Because a lot of those guys didn't want to be a father.
Let me tell you something. If you don't want to be a daddy, don't do the winky.
Hold on, Tracy. I think if you go into that,
Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was saying, if you look at that, I'm a little different. I do think that legally, our laws, our whole system, it's not good, especially black men, because we, you know, our people are the poorest. It's just a lot of, it's like it's set up. And I'm not trying to say it's impossible,
But when you start, you got child support, you got all these different social programs, you got, they say a girl making $12,000 a year can't survive. What they say, you can have a household with two people making $30,000 apiece, and the girl making $12,000 a year actually makes more money with all the government programs that are out there. So, I mean, that makes it hard for a guy. I mean, it does. And that's one of the things that guy Steve talks about is handouts and making excuses. He's against all that. You know what I'm saying? He's not a make-excuse type of guy. So,
well, and this is the issue. If you don't want children, you can't do the winky. Because when sometimes, as I think Stanley said, you some things happen. The problem is we have people who act upon their emotions very, very hazardly, and they don't look at the outcome of their actions ahead of time. And they get in a situation that they don't want to be in, and then they abdicate their responsibility. And that goes for the young ladies also, because you have to realize young ladies still are in the mindset of entrapment.
Well,
I mean, you have to think about it.
It's like the government helps, like, facilitate it. So it's kind of
absolutely.
It's two sided. It's like the government wants you to have a baby by a guy and not marry him. They got you. They got their child, they got the mother, and they got their father. They got everybody.
Do you know what they have mostly? They have a voting block of people that are easily swayed. That's what this is about. That's why you look at that.
Because if he comes home, think about it. It's not even advantageous for that female to get that guy to want it. If he wanted to be a father, she probably would. She's like, why are you going to come? I don't want to live with you. I don't want to be married because if we are, I'm going to lose my benefits. I'm going to lose this because we're going to make too much money. Household-wise, I don't need that. So, you know, it's that's why I'm against a lot of that stuff. I think if it gets rid of it, even if they say the evil rich people are racist and they'll all, but I think people need to start sticking together. Families need to, you know, that'll kind of fix a lot of the problems itself. But
we don't we don't encourage families. We don't encourage abstinence. When's the last time you heard parents and people talking about telling young ladies to be chaste until they got married?
We make fun of it.
When's the last time we told a young man that he needed to be responsible of where he laid his hat at? Where do we see that at? You don't see that at all. You don't see it in our society. You don't see it in our television. You don't see it in our music. You don't see it anywhere. You don't even see it in our advertising. We are not a society that has a moral compass. And because
we have a moral compass, Tracy, but we don't have the moral compass of what she said, that basically saying to a lady, wait until marriage, and then, oh, sorry, you got married to a guy who you're not good sexually, and then you get divorced.
Stanley, listen to what I'm saying. People sleeping around like rabbits, and they still not staying together.
Well, they're not going to stay together because they don't want to. This is a society. But you know what, Stanley? You know what that breeds?
What does that breed?
It breeds what you're seeing on the streets of your city with these guys shooting each other down day by day because they never had a father in their life teaching them who they were and what they're supposed to do. And therefore they grow up like weeds and they grow up as weeds.
But Jeff,
not being productive. And therefore, they turn into an infestation in society instead of a crop in society.
What I'm saying is that a lot of people already knew that this. I think this was not. This has been engineered. This is not a side effect. I think people knew. Hey, if we write this check, this will destroy their community and destroy their black middle.
Absolutely.
I think this was done, and I think the same people. That people, you know, a lot of these people know this stuff. They can look a person in the eye and tell them, hey, knowing full well how their son died, and say, we're going to get that guy for the video. But you could always come back and lie and tell a people, hey, I'm going to give you a check. That's easy. And I think that it's been done on purpose. I think if you get rid of it, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but if we got rid of a lot of these entitlements, it'll wake us up. I really do think that. I think it will wake
at least the black community, I know it'll wake them up and start saying, wait a minute, you know, these women gonna say, well, I can't talk to you, man. You ain't got a job. You got your pants around your butt. I don't care if you got a big penis. That's not gonna keep my lights on.
You can say that out loud.
I
mean, I said it the proper, you know, what's the word, politically correct way. I ain't saying the alleyway now. I could have said it the real way.
No. Don't say it that way. I'm just saying that we in our society, if you look at what's really going on with America and with our communities, we do not invoke discretion in any way, shape, or form. And our government actually tells you, don't be discreet. Just do what you want to do, and we'll take care of it. Because I promise you, you start taking, you know, we're talking about food stamp cuts. And I love what the woman said, because she said if they had said that they were going to have food stamp cuts before the election, he'd have never got reelected.
Well, no doubt about it.
You guys understand
but,
that.
But see, nor would you have he got reelected if Benghazi had been.
Why wouldn't he have gotten reelected?
Pardon me?
Why wouldn't he have gotten reelected? Romney was going to do it too.
That wasn't the point. The point was this: Benghazi and food stamps would have put him straight out.
But they wouldn't have blasted that across the news. I mean, he would have won. That's what I'm saying. It's not like we would have heard about that.
Yeah,
now,
but
Fox
you
heard
about it.
You
wouldn't have
unless
heard
you
about
listen
it.
To
Fox News and New York Post.
No, Jeff. Yeah.
But that's just a small part of the electorate.
They didn't, because you got to understand, MSNBC and CNN wasn't going to tell a peep, and we don't read the
guarantee
paper.
You that CNN and them would have said, what? Cut food stamps?
No, because they needed to have that liberal agenda in there.
Well, anyway, I was enjoying that because I didn't know he cut the food stamps, and I don't know how I didn't know that. But he cut $50 a month?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Listen,
that's
a big
cut.
Go ahead. I'll be right back.
That's hilarious.
That's a big cut.
Yeah. You guys tell me this. How is a person, and this goes beyond the poor black person that doesn't have any drive to live, how is a person that does have some go-get, some initiative, how does he survive to live, how does she survive to live, when the cost of living is going up and the living wage is either staying the same or it's going down?
Because if you're saying they got to get up and drive about themselves, like, and I'm gonna use my own life as an example. My comedy club shut down. I didn't have any experience. I went to school. I went and got a certification in SQL Server, got some references, friends to help me out, and I got a job. And I I'm not saying I did. I believe God did it. But at the same time, get up and a lot of times in life, just from my own personal experience, if you have get up and go about yourself, it's just almost like as if God will provide a way for you to get where you're trying to go. And everybody's
like
not going to want
the
same thing. Some people, it may be welding, it may be whatever, but it'll come if you have that drive. But the question is, do you have that, or are you going to make excuses?
Well,
a lot of times they have valid reasons why they where they are. They're saying, it'll make sense what they're saying. But it's just, are they going to lay down or are they going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to dog people out, you know, and say that they can't. I mean, they may have valid reasons, but look, I didn't have a car. I had tickets, warrants for my arrest. I didn't have nothing. I mean, I was, you know, I don't talk like this. I don't care because I'm God bought me out of it. But I was down and out. And if anybody, I got friends that were in the same situation that are still in that same situation today. But I didn't sit there and wait, and I feel like that's why I'm like I am. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but if I can do it, I don't think I'm any smarter than anybody. You got people with the same degree. I know girls stripping in the club right now that got the same degree I got. She don't want to strip, but, you know, I mean, it's just
but
it's depends.
Listen to what you're saying, though. Listen to what you're saying. For you, you are one of very few people who have that that testimony, we'll say, of the experience of saying that the things that I did helped me to get out of the situation.
But don't you think painting a person as exceptional
gives the other person a reason not to try. I think I don't think that my case is any exceptional than the next. I could have got a job at a factory if I'd always. It's other ways I could go, and I'm not trying to be funny. I could really quit doing IT, not do it again, and go find me a job in a factory making something. I mean, there are ways to get around, and a lot of times they say necessity is the mother of invention. I mean, a lot of times, you know, people, the human spirit is not, if you're saying if they have drive, that's the key. If you have drive and you go looking, there is just too many ways. People come here. I got a friend of mine. His dad came here with $7 in his pocket from Africa. No government grants, no programs. His dad's a millionaire.
But you,
ask him. It happens all the time. Now, am I saying everybody that has drive going to be a millionaire? No. But you can make a decent living if you have drive and motivation. And that's the real worldview difference of a lot of some people thought it's not practical for everybody. And if you believe that, then you're right. But if you don't, with Confucius say, he who believes he can and he who believes he can't are both usually right. And I just believe that's it. And usually a lot of times if you believe something, it'll work, especially if you've done business or something like that. Because I opened up businesses with less funding and things and was successful and have done things successfully without all the resources, you know. But it's not always, it's just your worldview.
Is my phone open?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
But the problem I have is it's not the job. It's the problem is as black people, we've not learned how to create things. We've not learned how to create jobs. We depend so much on job, which is the worst thing ever. We don't know how to create wealth. We don't know how to create jobs. We don't know how to create business. You're waiting for somebody to give you a job. That's the worst thing ever. Because even if you're working for somebody and they're making the money, you think your own the owner of any boss or any company is not going to fire you if he says,
but Stanley,
cut some people.
But Stanley, how's a guy sitting out there that can't even put food in his stomach going to start a business? You got to first get a job to be able to even have some money to fix your credit, to go in a bank, to have a down payment to even start these businesses. Even if you want to save up money to start business, you're going to have something to start with. I have a skill right now that if I want to, I can go start my own consulting firm and start placing people on projects. Today,
I agree with you that you start maybe with a job, but I don't agree when people are staying 10, 20, or whatever years, 5 years in the company, and they're surprised, oh, I stayed in the job and I never thought about it. Because
I'm with you right there. I don't think you should have that mentality of sticking in a job till you're 30. You got people
exactly.
working in factories from the time they were 18.
Exactly.
They got a high school diploma.
Oh, I stayed 10 years. You see 10 years.
Yeah, you shut the factory down, you got a high school diploma. Oh, they wrong for shutting the factory down. You
exactly.
wrong for sitting there till you 40 with just a high school diploma working in a factory pushing a button with no
real
skills.
You can't say that. You can't say that because the majority of the people that worked in factories worked and retired from factories, and they knew that that factory was going to take care of their family. So you can't say that that's their
fault. Wait. No, but you're talking about something that was good in the 1800s and the early 1900s. Nowadays, you switch jobs on the average of 7 years, dude. You cannot have that mentality nowadays. The world is evolving, and we can't just keep saying we're going to stay in the factory until we're 50, 70, 80 years old.
Look,
that's not going to happen.
Let me ask you a question. You're not guaranteed to have your job and your position with your degree for 5 to 7 years.
You're right, but guess what? Because I have a certain amount of skills and I feel like I can go get a job, I just got let go from my job 2 weeks ago. I got up until the end of this month, and that's it. So I'm with you, but you don't hear me. Do I sound like I'm worried? I got two phone calls since we've been on the phone. People want my skill set. Let me make a point. Go ahead.
I'm not talking about whether or not you were you're facing hardships and you don't have. I'm saying let's be honest and call it what it is. The government is not making it easy for anyone that is working I'm not talking about let's complain about it, but let's call it what it is. If the government is not making it easy for anyone that is working or is not working, either way, they're not making it easy for you to live and support yourself, whether you're a single person or a person that happens to have children and a family. It's not easy. Hold on, let me make my point. I know many single people, never been married, don't have any kids, and can't afford to live on their own, and they have good paying jobs.
This is where if you look at as a group, man, and I don't think you're ever going to see this functional black community that we all got in our head, you know, that we would like to see. Because we are a permanent underclass, and this is what it means. When you're talking about moving something out of the local into the national, like Alabama, okay, you're going to have success stories in every city like Alabama or myself or the other brothers and sisters on the line. You're going to have those individual success stories. But that does not translate into a national infrastructure to bring the black community out of being a permanent underclass.
Why do you think that we have to be a permanent underclass? I don't understand that.
Okay, well, first of all, I didn't say you have to be one. You are one now, and I can show you how.
Absolutely.
No, you don't have to be one. You are one.
Michigan, I ain't even arguing with you. I agree with everything you just said about where we are, but there was a time where we weren't at
well,
that.
We were coming out of that.
That's right.
No, but we're not anymore.
If you want to talk about the infrastructure to say a neighborhood moving from a neighborhood into a community, there's a certain infrastructure that has to be in place. And I would like to hear anybody tell me when you see this coming out of the black community. Here's the first one. One, you're going to have to educate your own kids. That means black kids are going to have to come out of the public school system. That's one. The rate of you producing engineers and scientists is almost next to nothing. If you're not producing those, then you can already know where the next generation going to be as it relates to income and all of that. So
that's
one. Okay, so show me where the infrastructure is of blacks educating themselves K through 12. Where's the infrastructure?
Let me ask you something. Michigan, are Asians doing that?
Huh?
Asians going to the white schools and succeed.
Here's the difference. You're not talking about the same population. You're not talking about the same people spread out in a certain place, and you're not talking about the same history. So it'll be easier for a few Asians to sprinkle themselves around in white schools. The black communities are not going to be able to come out of the black communities and sprinkle all black kids into white schools. That can't happen.
But Michigan, there are enough of us. I'm with you to a certain extent. But then you're not. What I'm saying is, I agree with what you just said about us on a main scale, like on a national macro level. But at the end of the day, certain things I feel like that we're going to have to do are to stop allowing ourselves to say, "Well, it's." And I'm not saying this. I don't even know who that dude is I was talking to. I'm not saying that's what you're saying. So don't think I'm saying that. But I was just saying, there are a lot of us who have given up hope, who feel as though it's nothing we can do. That movie Snow on the Bluff, the guy was like, "This all I know is Robin Doughboys. This all I know." Right from up Atlanta, right up the street, talking about it's a lot of us that have given up. And I don't think that me going around here trying to speak a little hope and tell somebody, "Hey, you can do it. It can be done. Don't give up." I don't think that is bad. I don't think we're the ones as black conservatives on this phone right now that need to be. And I'm not saying anybody is saying it, but I'm saying a lot of times somebody needs to hear something that you can do. Just like when I'm in the weight room and I'm trying to push up that last set, that last rep, and that guy said, "Come on, man, you can." When I get that motivation, I can push up that last one, even though it looked like it was insurmountable. And I just think a lot of people.
This is what I'm saying. If in fact you're talking about changing it from, you know, a permanent underclass, we got to start with telling the truth, and that is, for instance, we don't have an educational infrastructure. You got to say that if you're going to build one. In other words, here's what we do. We have the faith and the hope first without a plan, which you're supposed to have a plan and then use your faith and your hope to push the plan.
But let me say this, guys, let me throw this into the mix. Let me tell you what's wrong, and this is just according to me. We have outside influences that are manipulating our success to cause it not to happen. And we need to be honest about that. And there's no race that comes with that. But it, but they move us by our emotionalism, and they use race to keep us down.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Hold on, Michigan. What'd you say, Rick?
That's all I was saying. Let's just call it what it is. The government has placed in so many different ways a lid over a poor man's community.
And that's
right?
What I'm
in so many ways. Let's just call it what it is. Ain't nobody, I'm not sitting on here trying to complain about the situation, but we can't be blinded to it and act like it doesn't exist. Let's call it
what
it is.
Well, you say lid, what do you mean? You mean impossibility? Or are you just saying
Alabama, it's not impossible, but until we – you have to understand what they did in the last election. In the last election, there was no momentum to go stand in line for 5 hours to vote for Barack Obama. The African-American community at large did not have any kind of push to stand up for a brother who came out for same-sex marriage, and they are in a worse shape than their community as African Americans that they were in 4 years when he got elected.
Hold on, Michigan.
So all of that hope and change that they were, history was over with. So they had to manufacture a movement to make you be excited to go vote again for the black man. And that came with voter suppression.
Oh no!
Okay, now Tracy, but this is where I think this is where the strategic talk gets derailed to trivial side issues. I didn't say they weren't issues. I said trivial side issues of, oh, they just playing on the blacks' emotion about voter suppression. Even if all of those side issues is true, the main issue to the deconstruction of the black community has nothing to do with playing on blacks' emotions about
Michigan,
voter suppression.
Instead of playing on the straight road, Tracy, you didn't take a turn. I'm telling you, look at what happened.
Oh,
and so if don't all bore me with this, let me say, let's go look at how this happened.
What they did was
they overthrew the election based upon something that was false so that they can control the outcomes.
Oh, man.
And because of it, they still did not make you stand on your own accountability, but all they did was push you into their own agenda, not yours.
But I think, Tracy, Michigan, it seems to me that, and it's just my personal opinion, I feel like with Michigan, sometimes we have to – when I hear stuff, my personality is, okay, well, how are we going to fix it? What's the next move? You know, what we need to do? You know, and I know I'm just one person. I can only do so much. We all can.
And so, I'm with you on that also.
I think all of us have to admit black folks been messed up psychologically first. So everybody on this phone agree with that. So it's kind of hard to – whether we're conservative or liberal, we all agree with that. So now in order to fix it, all I could do is, look, raise my child. I don't have a child yet, but when I get them, raise them the right way, do certain things. And I feel like part of what Michigan's saying is, okay, we all need to come together. I like what you say. I just think, man, what's the next step? Like, you're right, owning our own manufacturing, like what Stanley was saying. So we can't even get to that point. We got to get there first. How we, practically speaking, the education system, you got a kid to join kindergarten a couple of months ago. By the time we even get to that level, that boy going to be probably out of school by the time we even get to where.
So how are we going to fix it? Hold on, Rick. So what I'm saying is you have to understand they manufacture a movement based upon their own agenda, but you can't implement that same movement for your own agenda. You understand where I'm coming from? And that's – I'm saying you have to understand how this happens. We move – by someone else's agenda, but we don't move on our own agenda, in which we absolutely get nowhere. So on the same ballot, you have a tax levy that's going to give you an education, and you're going to pay anywhere from $14,000 to $17,000 per year per pupil to send them to a public school system, but you're not going to be educated at the end of the year.
Tracy, can I say what I want to say? Listen. You guys are saying all this about the agenda and black people need to solve the problem and fix it. Listen, what none of us are realizing is I would if I could take a poll on the phone right now, I would ask all of you, how many of you own your houses? And then I would qualify that statement by saying you actually have the deed to your house, not a mortgage. What we've messed up, and this is part of the repetitive cycle that, Tracy, I'll go in and throw in and say, Tracy, you correct me if I'm wrong in saying this for you. What we do is the education you're talking about is we end up repeating a cycle of life that was not meant to be. There was a time period in America when even the average man, the average everyday man, owned his house. That doesn't exist anymore. You're never
and
going to own your house.
And again, and they're not making it to where you are ever out of debt and owning anything so that you'd never create wealth.
And all you do is repeat a cycle. So don't tell me about how you went out here and you got a job and you got the education and you can get a job anytime, anywhere, and how your education is this, that, and the other. The reality of your situation is no different than the other man's situation that doesn't have a job. You're still in debt.
Wait.
You're mad at me because I'm lost. I mean, what you mean by that? Come. Do you straighten it out for me? What you mean, homie? What you mean?
Show me your bills. If your bills do not exceed your income, then I stand corrected. But right now, I guarantee your bills exceed your income. Guaranteed.
Dude, you don't even.
Agenda. And that's where I agree with you.
Uh-huh.
But see, what we're saying right now is empowerment until the agenda machine comes around and says, don't listen to that. Listen to me and let me help you do what you want to do and steer you another direction, which is off rail.
Well, here's my suggestion. The African saying, better to raise a child than to repair an adult. Now, the downward slope of the black community, I would say, for the majority of blacks, that snowball is too heavy to stop downhill. I'm gonna suggest this: the population that we need to focus on that would represent the vanguard of the black community is between the ages of 4, 5, and 6
yes,
years old. This is the place where the individual develops his political identity, his social identity, his understanding about community, economics, and all of that. You need to start right there. There has to be a concerted effort.
But listen,
wait a minute.
I know. And
yep,
what I'm saying
know,
to you,
I know,
love your
I
love your 4, 5, and 6.
Yep,
but
I
my
know.
Question is, if I don't get them at 4, 5, and 6 because their mama is 2021 and 22, what am I going to do?
You're going to have no. He's absolutely correct.
You got to. You can get them.
You can
get those. Those are the ages. You've got to take over the education starting around that period. When these kids get about 13 or 14, they're done pretty much. Now, that sounds cold, right? You're writing off everybody.
Wait, how do you go after 3, 4, and 5?
This is how you do it, and this is how we must do it. And I actually have been really, really looking at this since my wife is in education. Okay, you have to start looking at developing schools.
Yes.
Okay. Because if I get a dollar, I'm gonna create the My Kids Academy. My kids are gonna be disciplined. They're gonna be loved, and they're going to learn.
Hold on. Because we only have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
You won't let me finish.
I know. No, I agree with you. My question to you is,
mm-hmm.
I have the My Kids Academy, which is a charter school.
Yeah.
Or a community school.
Right.
Which has a public-private partnership.
Right.
That I am in total opposition. And if you start creating successful education systems here that start competing with the public school, then you will go back to where President Obama signed to make sure that his kids could not go to school with mine.
No, we're not going to go for that because one way or another, we're going to operate
autonomous.
Without public money.
There you
go.
It's got to be autonomous. That's right.
We're
going to
create our schools like the white upper class did in America, and they created their Ivy League schools, their private boarding schools, and all of this stuff.
Bingo.
We have to get some like-minded people that aren't afraid to put a few dollars in to make sure that the future of America changes for the better instead of creating a race of people that are good for nothing but filling the jails and giving somebody a job taking care of them.
Okay, Jeff.
Hold on. You don't need no legislation.
Nope, got nothing to do with legislation.
Hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. We have some schools that are here in the community that are like that, and they're privately funded. And they do not take any outside federal money, so they can teach their children what they choose. They take all the mandated tests, and they are functioning at a very, very high education rate.
Yeah.
The question is, how do you get for us to actually take those monies and make it happen? Tomorrow we'll start over again.
I'll call you.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless you. I won't see you until after Thanksgiving either.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
So
where is you and Mama going back
here? We're going down to South Carolina to see my wife's parents, and we're going to stop in and see South Carolina on the way home.
Look at that. Hey, I'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless you, and have a good day.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com.
Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Sounds good.
This is News Talk 600.
One person bringing in turkey.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Palestinian protesters clashing with Israeli forces across the West Bank as cross-border missile strikes continue in Gaza. ABC's Alex Marquardt in Gaza City.
What has Gaza furious? Of 11 people killed in this house on Sunday, all but two were from one family. This while more than 1,000 rockets have been fired at Israel. The majority have been knocked down by Israel's Iron Dome, but many still get through.
These fired talks continue in Egypt. President Obama will be meeting with Pacific Rim leaders in Cambodia in a few hours, but first, meeting with the prime minister of his host country, says ABC's Ann Compton, traveling with the president.
It seems President Obama may have lectured his Cambodian host on human rights during their initial meeting here in Phnom Penh, in effect saying, if Myanmar is an example of progress, Cambodia is the opposite. It's a message President Obama expressed earlier in the day in Myanmar.
We will extend a hand if you're willing to unclench your fist.
And Compton, ABC News, Phnom Penh. More Americans bought homes last month, taking advantage of the lowest interest rates ever. ABC's Alex Stone with more.
Existing home sales rose in October by 2.1%, but there is concern. Mike Larson is a real estate analyst and says the upcoming fiscal cliff, when taxes could increase, could make for a rocky road ahead.
Would not be surprised in the least to see the rebound that we've seen in sales tail off.
It was the eighth month in a row sales of...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.